ജയം വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്രശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാഷ്ട്രയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം നിത്യലീല പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്രശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തിസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാഷ്ട്രയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശിലഹരദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനയ്ക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമയ്ക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമയ്ക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ഗംഗമായയ്ക്ക് യമുനമായയ്ക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദ സിമ്പിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദ സിമ്പിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദ സിമ്പിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശ്രീ ശ്രീ ഗുരു ആൻഡ് ശ്രീ ഗൗരംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശീല പ്രഭുപാദ് നമോ വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിധി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വദേവം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ആദേശതാരിണി ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധര ഭവാർണവാദ് ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാനാഥ മുക്തിർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ നൂരജയേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പാദയോർസവ ജായത്തെ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യത പ്രഭോ നാമസങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപപ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യതോന്വയാദിതരതസ് ചാർത്ഥേഷ്വഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാത് തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവയെ മുഹ്യന്തി യത്സൂരയാ തേജോ വാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷാം ധാംനാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തകുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി പ്രോജിതകൈതവോത്രപരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണാം സദാം വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനികൃതേ കിംവാപരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യേത്രകൃതിഭി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭീ തക്ഷണാം നിഗമകൽപതരോർഗലിതം ഫലം ശുഖമുഖാതമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിബത ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോരസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാ സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നുമാം യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം അനുഭേദമഭേദകൃത്യം യനോ വിരഹകാതയമജ്ജുഹാവാം പുത്രേതി തന്മയദയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിമാനതോസ്മി യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അദ്ധ്യാത്മദീപമതിതിദീർഷതാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനം ഉപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ജൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണൂക്കുണിദാതൃദാനനെന്തോ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭതാം മുരാരേ മധുരീം ന കണികാഭി കാഭി കാഭി నమామోం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రసాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతి భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామినిది నామిని నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవి గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యాదేశధారిణి శ్రీమద్ గురు చరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమః వందే నందవ్రజ స్త్రీణాం పాదరేణుమభీష్ణశా యాసాం హరిగదోద్గీతం పునాది భువనత్రయం గోపీచరణారవింద పరమానవే నమః పీతాంబరం కరవిరాజిత చక్రశంఖం కౌమోదగీ సరసిజం కరుణాసముద్రం రాధాసహాయమతిసుందరమందహాసం వాతాళయేశమనిశం హృది భావయామి కోమలం కూజయన్ వేణుం శ్యామళోయం కుమారక వేదవేద్యపరం బ్రహ్మ భాసదాంబురదో మమ మూకం కరోతి వాజాలం పంగుం లంఘయదే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం శ్రీకృష్ణాయ నమ శ్రీమందిరాధికాయే నమ సర్వత్ర గోవిందనామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద అర్జున ఉవాచ కిం దల్ బ్రహ్మం కిమధ్యాత్మం కిం కర్మ పురుషోత్తమ అధిభూతం చ కిం ప్రోక్తం అధిదైవం కిముచ్యతే అధియజ్ఞ కథం కోత్ర దేహేస్మిన్ మధుసూదన ప్రయాణకాలే చ కథం జ్ఞేయోసి నియతాత్మభి శ్రీభగవాన్ ఉవాచ అక్షరం బ్రహ్మపరమం స్వభావం అధ్యాత్మముచ్యతే భూతభావోద్భవకరో విసర్గ కర్మ సంజ్ఞితాం అధిభూతం క్షరో భావాం పురుషశ్చాదిదైవతం అధియజ్ఞోహమేవాత్ర దేహే దేహమృదాం వరాం అంధకాలే చ మామేవాం స్మరన్ ముక్త్వా కలేవరం య ప్రయాది సమద్భావం యాతి నాస్తి అత్ర సంశయాః. సో వి సా లాస్ట్ Saturday, that this mentioned there in the Bhagavad Gita, that when one comes to that state of perfection, Krishna is saying that at the time of death, if one has practiced Krishna consciousness all the way throughout, in other words, if that smarana, what Krishna calls it as smarana, and if it was followed through all the way, then there is a possibility that at the time of death, that smarana will come back. It won't come from the memory. It won't come from the intelligence, brain. It comes, smarana comes from the soul, from the consciousness. So that is what the important point there, that అంధకాలే చ మామేవ స్మరన్ ముక్త్వా కలేవరం ఏ ప్రయాది సమద్భావం యాతి నాస్త్యత్ర సంశయ. సో యూ కెన్ బి వి సీన్ దేర్ దట్ బాడీ యూ కెనాట్ ట్రస్ట్, బాడీ యూ కాన్ ట్రస్ట్, మైండ్ యూ కాన్ ట్రస్ట్, ఇంటెలిజెన్స్ యూ కాన్ ట్రస్ట్ దెమ్, ఎనీ ఆఫ్ దెమ్, బికాస్ బిఫోర్ ద టైమ్ ఆఫ్ డెత్ దే విల్ ఆల్ సే గుడ్ బై టు అస్. బాడీ విల్ బీ ఆన్ ఇట్స్ వే అవుట్. Mind also, you never know what thoughts it will bring up in the mind. As far as intelligence is concerned, you can more or less say that at that point in time, intelligence will also fail. Because intelligence cannot operate at that time. Even the memory also will go. What will remain then? Whatever that the consciousness, avabodham, gives at that time, that will be the state. That's why Krishna is saying there, andakale cha mameva, at the time of death, andakala means time of death, mameva smaran tektva muktva kalevaram, that one he remembers in my memory, in my consciousness, Krishna's consciousness, when one leaves this body, Krishna says, there is no doubt about that. Nastyatra samshaya. Krishna is making it absolutely clear that that person will get back to the spiritual world. He will, once for all, he will come out of the cycle of birth and death. It is because this science, from this you can understand, this is the only science in the whole world which is perfect. All other sciences, because they change, they are not perfect. That is the reason. Any other science, what we have manufactured here or what we have created, as far as the science regarding the body, science of the body or the mind or the intelligence, whatever it is, or any other material science for that matter, is never perfect. It's not possible, because Krishna is saying here that what does that come from the soul, from the chit shakti, and particularly the consciousness, avabodham, or awareness, it is that thing that continuously existing with us all the time. Anything that comes from that will save you from the time of death. Because this memory, not called memory, smarana, Krishna calls it a smarana. Smarana means that what comes from the consciousness at the time of death. That's what it means. At the time of death, what comes from the consciousness? Oh, if it is, if we have trusted, if we have put all our trust in the body, in the mind, or in the intelligence, then it will fail. Therefore, Krishna is saying that no other science is perfect except this science of the transmigration of the soul, and at the time of death, when one remembers that, when one is made aware of the remembrance of things, what he has remembered all the way through in his life, that will come back and save him from accepting another material body. That is why Krishna is saying this. Andakale cha mameva smaran tektva kalevaram ya prayadisa madbhavam. Madbhavam is what? Spiritual. He will go back to his spiritual identity. Yati nasti atra samshaya. We have no doubt about that. Krishna is saying like this. So, therefore, we also saw last time that from the message from the what we receive inside, aham aham, aham asmi, aham asmi, and that will develop into pratyabhijna, develop into pratyabhijna, which we see what pratyabhijna means, that once you have gone inwards and eventually started experiencing the relationship with the soul, in other words, identity moving away from the body to the soul. That is what pratyabhijna means. So, we also mentioned there that in the background of the chaitanyam or the living force or the what we call as the screen, all activities are going on here, isn't it? So, everything is happening because there is chaitanyam behind. All the actions are also happening. So sometimes as we talk about this, that so many things are spoken from Bhagavad Gita, but nothing is nothing. Sometimes we say, I have understood. Sometimes we have not understood. So everything is an activity, but all these activities are happening in the background of the living force or Antaryami inside, isn't it? So either you get either you understand it, or you get confused, or you go to sleep. The mind may react in different ways. Vichevam, anandam, vichevam, avaranam, and layam. That's the three things that can happen, isn't it? With the mind. Mind has got these three situations. Vichevam, avaranam, or layam. Layam means it dissolves. It cannot relate with the topic anymore. Avarana means it puts a cover on top of it, and you cannot it puts you into covering potency of illusion. Maya works there. Vishava means various thoughts coming through the mind. So so this awareness inside that aham, my existence, or my existence, which comes from the Chitshakti, or it's called Chidamsham also. And when we, while even chanting the holy name or japam, while chanting the japam also, this awareness, if you take notice of it, that you can see that when your attention falls on the soul, even the japam becomes pure. Japam becomes pure. Because the purpose of the japam or chanting is also to take away the avarana vikshepam from inside. That's what chanting does. It removes the avaranam covering and the vikshepam. And the vikshepam, various chittavritti or thought waves that comes to the mind, it stops. It arrests everything. Arrests everything, and that shanti happens where the possibility of knowing oneself is better. So, you know, that is why when we have seen the snake in the darkness, when you have switched on the torch and looked at it, then you realize that it is not the stake anymore, it is the rope. It is the rope. So, so this opening of the self within is achieved through this process, that when one starts applying, when we go inward looking, this is what happens. Initially, we put our attention on that awareness which comes aham asmi, that I am, that awareness, that is where you drop your attention. So that is the only way. It's an entrance to that world of heart where through which you get an opportunity to go inward and enter into that area through the knowledge. Through knowledge or ignorance or sleep, is it not? Through knowledge, through ignorance or sleep. Because provided you are alert, you are alert. So everything, every time, Vedantam says that every time, whenever some reaction happens inside, for example, when I say that I have understood, we have to ask the question, who has understood? We have to ask the question, who has understood? Who has understood? That is more important. This is how we move away from the world of drishyam to the drik. Most of the time, we are absorbed in the drishyam, isn't it? Drishyam means what the senses are experiencing. That is drishyam. Drikka means who is the person who is experiencing. So attention has to go from what is being experienced to the experiencer who is experiencing it. Just like you can see, all the world is practically busy with the what it can see, isn't it? What it wants to see, like you saw yesterday, the Olympics, for example. The whole world is watching it. They want to see what is there to watch, what their senses can get pleased with that. In other words, generally the world is interested in drishyam, not interested in the drik. Drik is more important, drishyam is not important. Drishyam will come, go, will come and go, change all the time. So when the senses are busy with the drishyam, drik will not come into the understanding. Or in order to understand the drik, you have to move away from the drishyam. You have to move away from the drishyam. This is the most important thing. Only when we become spiritually conscious, we will understand this point. When we become spiritually conscious, we will start seeing drishyam is not important, drikki is important. That is why, in order to understand Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam and all, unless we have an understanding of drik, the person who is seeing rather than the drishyam, drishyam is not important. Drishyam is important for those who are absorbed in the world. Drik is important for those who are trying to realize the truth. When you go inward looking, drik becomes important. Drishyam is not important anymore. Drishyam will come. It's a passing phase in many things that comes through in this. So then when you say that I have understood, you have to ask the question, who has understood? And as mentioned before, if I cut the hand off or a leg off, the hand won't say that I have understood or I have not understood. And if you take this, remove the brain from inside, brain also can't answer that I have understood or I have not understood. That is all dead things, dead matter, jadam it is called. But who is saying this, I have understood or I have not understood? And that one has to give attention to. That is not coming from the brain. That's not coming from the brain. So that consciousness, that element of consciousness is called Chidamsham. From Chit Shakti it comes, it's called Chidamsham. That understanding and not understanding is not the important. Who is understanding is important. Normally, what do we give importance to? Whether I have understood or not understood, isn't it? Suppose we read Bhagavad Gita here and so many things we talk about from Bhagavad Gita. Many people will say, I have understood, or somebody else will say, I have not understood. It can vary from one person to another. But important point is, whether you have understood or not understood is not the important. If the inquiry has begun asking this question, who has understood, that is the beginning of spiritual life. That's the beginning of spiritual life. That is where your attention is going away from the drishyam to the drik. To the drik. So, with element of, just like they say, I mentioned this before also, that various sweets are offered to the deity at different times for festivals. So there is one sweet in which inside is full of jaggery and sweet, outside it is covered by flour. It's covered by flour. Now, when so what happens when it is offered to the deities and when it's distributed, children only want to take the sweet part of it. The remaining side, outside thing, they just throw it away. They like the sweet side of it. The other thing, they throw it away. So, similarly, whereas the grown-up people, they will eat the whole thing. Both the outside as well as the inside. So, due to Shraddha, when Shraddha develops, what happens? Shraddha takes us from drikshyam to drik. Drishyam to drik. So, that attention falling on inside, on the drik, then that is what that is. In order that to happen, that aham ahamasmi, ahamasmi, that awareness, one should take note of that. And one has to continuously look inwards and start giving attention there. They give an example like this. There was a huge pot of yogurt. Two frogs, small little frogs, they fell into that. And they were trying to escape from that. They couldn't. So one frog said to the other, that I can't come out. I don't think I can escape. Other frog said, I also realize that I can't escape, but I'm not going to give up till the last minute, he said, till I finally get tired and I won't be able to jump out. I'll stay here. He said. Saying that, it keeps on smashing the yogurt. Keeps on smashing the yogurt and trying to escape from that. In that process, from the yogurt, it all got churned and the butter came out. So that frog, that put its feet on the butter and jumped out from there. Whereas the other frog, which didn't want to try, never made it. It stayed there. So what it understands is from this is that we have got initially what we have now is adhibhutam. Remember, adhyatmam, adhibhutam, adhidevam. What we have got now is adhibhutam. It is adhibhutam. And we do not, so beginning from adhibhutam, we have to start with adhibhutam. Adhiyatyam, we don't know. And adhyalpam also, we don't know. We don't know adhyalpam, we don't know adhiyatyam. So, keeping a small object, the scientists, what do? In the laboratory, scientists do like this, that they will develop a small model in the laboratory. Everything, all inventions are like that, isn't it? They develop first a model. Or they say, if this is a huge project, they will make a pilot plant first. In engineering also it's like that, isn't it? They make a pilot plant to test it out, how the whole thing works. And then they will go for a large-scale project. In the laboratory, the scientists make a very small form first, and then do their tests on that, and then they develop on the theory on the basis of that. After conducting the experiment, they will develop a larger project. First, they call the prototype. They make it like that, isn't it? So, the way, because it is like that, for example, scientists also do another thing, that when they go into the, they have not even found out all the planets yet. What they do is that, when they have found one planet, they started realizing that there are forces from other planets operating on this planet. That is how they have come into the, they come to find out that there are other planets existing as well, apart from this one planet. So when they realized that the forces are operating from the other planets, they started inquiring where the force is coming from on this planet. And that is how they were able to, when they realized the extra force that is coming onto this planet, influencing this, they started looking elsewhere and they have found other planets as well. Similarly, when we start giving our attention inside us, when we give our attention, although inside there are materialistic thoughts coming all the time, and also spiritual thoughts also coming there, you will know there that both these materialistic thoughts and the spiritual thoughts are operating under the influence of a living force within inside. Because you can see that neither of these thoughts, whether it's materialistic thoughts or spiritual thoughts, whatever it may be, without the presence of that living force, it cannot manifest there. It cannot manifest here. So, giving attention to that function that is happening inside, that means these thoughts coming through and someone behind it is allowing these thoughts to go through. That is that awareness inside. And when we give attention to that, then you know that we are in the adhibhutam stage. We are in the adhibhutam stage. And it may be completely materialistic. The thoughts may be material thoughts. Material thoughts means related with sense enjoyment, sense gratification and all that. Such thoughts may be coming through. Doesn't matter. But at least you started giving attention there to that place where the thoughts are developing. At that point you can say that you are in the state of adhibhutam. You are in the state of adhibhutam. So, as you give attention to that, you will notice sometime that if there is a force behind it, which is giving life to all the thoughts that's coming through, passing through, who is that force behind it? That is what we are addressed as jiva, isn't it? Jiva, living force. So, what is the difference between jiva and Brahman? That's one interesting question. What's the difference between jiva and Brahman? Jiva is also living force, but it is separate from Brahman. We realize at that stage that jiva is separate from Brahman. But at the same time, jiva is within Brahman. Jiva is within Brahman. But we know both Jiva and Brahman is living force, is spirit, spirit soul, isn't it? And at the same time, we also know that you are nothing to do with the body. A separation from the body happens at that time. This is all when you are progressing in the path of spiritual inquiry. These are different stages. Initially, attention falls on the thought waves that's coming through. Doesn't matter which thoughts, it's coming inside. At that point, you start realizing behind the thought waves, there is must be some living force behind it, because every thought waves become ultimately you are aware of that, isn't it? Awareness comes from there. So if it any thought wave, if it has, you have to become aware of that, there has to have a living force behind it. It's not directly coming from the way thoughts. It's because of the living force presence behind. You can see, we have seen this before also. In Kathopanishad and other Upanishads also talk about this. It's only because of presence of Krishna, the living force, the soul behind it, the mind is functioning, intelligence is functioning, senses are functioning. All the thought waves are coming through, but behind all the thought waves, there is that living force. Your attention falls on that. And that is adhibhutam state of adhibhutam. And then again you start, further inquiry goes on inside, spiritual inquiry goes on. You start realizing that force behind, which gives life to all the thought waves, that is known as jiva. That's known as jiva. So jivam is also a living force. And then there is antaryami inside, is also living force. Both are spiritual entities. Now, at the same time, all of these are in the body, inside the body. And you also know that you are not the body, therefore it comes to the conclusion that I am within the body. I am staying within this body. So, even though you may know that you are within this body, that is not good enough. It's not of great great advantage, because that is only the very initial stage that you started slowly realizing. This is all through vicharam, through spiritual inquiry, this has to happen. A lot of time has to be spent on this to make this inquiry constantly happening within. It is from that understanding you come to realize that I have nothing to do with this body, I am staying within this body. This understanding will come. First time in the adhibhutam state, we only know what we are. That is this body. Nothing more than that. Isn't it? When it becomes, the thoughts become finer and our prajna or shraddha becomes pure, we will start seeing this separation happening inside. So, this is where Sankhya philosophy stops. Sankhyam comes and stops there. So, what it says is that I am not this body, although I may note that, I know that I am not this body, but still I am there, the body is there. I am there, the body is there. And I am hiding within this body. And by knowing that, your material distress has not gone away yet. All the miseries of the material body is still there. And it will be like that. That state is there. And that is what Krishna is calling it as Purushascha Adidevadam. If you look into that verse, what Krishna is mentioning there? In the fourth verse, second line, Krishna is saying, Purushascha adidevatam. That is that stage, when you are there, in that state. Purushascha adidevatam. Krishna also mentioned earlier, Sobhavam adhyalpam uchyate. In the third verse, in the second line, he mentioned, Sobhavam adhyalpam uchyate. Sobhavam adhyalpam uchyate, and here Krishna is saying, Purushascha adidevatam. Purushascha adidevatam. So, from there, if you give more and more Shraddha or attention falls on that awareness, on one fine morning or one fine moment, when your attention falls inside, that you will notice that this awareness that I am situated within this body is not true. I'm situated with, because this is also only for easy understanding. We accept this principle that I am within this body. When that understanding becomes more precise or more finer inside, At that time you will know that I am not within this body, rather I am Akhanda Vastu. Akhanda means unbroken, all pervading one. That realization will come from that. That is the Chidakasham state. What they call, the yogis call as Chidakasham. And our connection with the body will only, initially you have to accept it that way, that you are within the body. Everybody has to accept that we are within this body. And it is at that time what they call it as Purushascha Adhidevadam. Initially Adhibhudam. First is Adhibhudam, only body. Second is Adhidevadam, Adhidevam. That means you have started identifying the presence of a living force inside and your attention has fallen on that. Finally, when you go from there further, now Sankhyam stops there. Purusha and Prakriti, it stays separately. When it Vedantam, when it goes further down, deeper than that, it comes to a point, one state where only one thing exists, only the spirit alone. Krishna mentions that in the Bhagavatam. If you look into Srimad Bhagavatam, you will see that. Where is the difference between Sankhyam and Vedantam? That's what it is. If you look in the 11th canto, Krishna mentions there that the 28th chapter of the 11th canto is a discussion about the absolute truth. It's a discussion about the absolute truth. There, Krishna, first he says here, Sri Bhagavan Vacha, Parasvabhava Karmani na prashamse na garhayet, Vishwamegalpagam pashyen prakritya purushena cha. In one verse, Krishna finished that. He says that Prakriti and Purusha, two things, yeah? That is the Adhidevam state, Prakriti and Purusha. Krishna is saying, Paraswabhava Karmani na prashamsayed na garhayed. Swabhavam, same Swabhavam here in this verse also, in the third verse, Swabhavam adhyalpam uchyate. Swabhavam is one's nature, Prakriti, what is working through a person. Parasvabhavam. His one Swabhavam and Karmam, or his activities, should never be appreciated or should never be criticized. No prashamsa, no garhanam. Prashamsa means that you saying that you have done a great job or you have done something wonderful. That's prashamsa. Garhayed means you are totally useless, you didn't do it properly, criticizing the work, what somebody has done. Krishna is saying, one Swabhavam and Karmam should never be glorified or criticized, because Vishwam Egalmagam, he says, there is only one thing in the creation. What is that? Spirit. Vishwam Egalmagam, Brahmam, is only existing, but experienced by everybody as Prakriti and Purusha in two ways. He says, Prakriti Purusha Samyogam. This Vishwam creation is a combination of these two, Prakriti and Purusha. Prakriti and Purusha. It's a combination of these two things, is this creation, Vishwam. Krishna is saying, you should only look at it as one, not as two. Not as Prakriti and Purusha, but you should rather see it as one, Vishwam. Vishwam is Ekalpmakam. Ekalpmakam means one, made of one thing only, made of one substance, the soul. And to see there's two different things, Prakriti and Purusha, in Krishna's eyes, that's why I'm saying Krishna has accepted Sankhyam up to a limit. After that, Krishna has not taken Sankhyam. Sankhyam is Kapila Maharshi's philosophy. Kapilam it is. From Kapila Maharshi, Sankhyam came. So Krishna has taken that part of Sankhyam. And then Krishna also mentioned in the next verse, if you begin Parasvabhava Karmani ya Prashamsadi Nindadi, if you do that, what will happen is, Sa Ashu Brashyade Swarthal Asatyam Abhiniveshada. Then you have already fallen away from the truth, if you are doing that. Parasvabhava Karmani ya Prashamsadi Nindadi. If you say prashamsa, or if you glorify someone's activity, or if you criticize somebody's activity, then you are both fallen from the truth. Sashubrashyade swarthal asatyam abhiniveshada, because both are asatyam, not truth. They are all false. So one who is criticizing the false thing is also fallen. That's the principle. A realized person, knowing very well that everything is false here, should keep out of that. Not try to correct it, or not try to comment on that, whether it's right or whether it's wrong, because everything is wrong at the end. They are all false anyway. It is a very high state of realization, what Krishna is talking about in the 11th canto. He's saying to Uddhava, Uddhava, parasabhava karmani ya prashamsadi nindadi. Because this 28th chapter in this 11th canto is the one of the most important chapters where Krishna has given his final statement on the truth before he goes. So therefore it's important. Then he mentions a few things after that which you can read through. That tajase nidraya apanne pindasto nashta chetana mayam prapnodi mrutyam va tadvan nanarthadak puman. Then because senses which are under the control of the mode of passion, rajasam, then senses, when they are infected with sleep, nidra, what will happen is jiva takes a form of in a dream state of maya. Dream state of maya. And again, when the mind gets dissolved, he goes into sushupti state. It goes into sushupti state, which is very close to death, the sushupti state. In this way, one who is pulled by duality of the world, continuously he will keep on switching from vichebam to layam. Vichebam to layam. Layam means everything gets dissolved. Vichebam means continuous chittavritti. In these two states he will be floating. The individual soul will be floating in these two states. So therefore Krishna is saying, tadvan nanartha drik puman. That means dvaidam brings that problem, he says. Then and he says, kim badram, kim abhadram va dvaidasya vastu nakiyal. Vajodidam tananradam manasadhyatam evava. He says, Krishna is saying that dvaidam, which has no reality, dvaidam has no reality, that dvaidam, what good is it? And what's wrong with it? He says, kim badram kim abhadram va. What is right and what is wrong in dvaidam? He is saying, kim badram kim abhadram va. Because ultimately it is dvaidam. Dvaidasya vastuna kiyal. The very fact itself, dvaidam itself is a falsity. Dvaidam doesn't exist. Then he says, vachodidam tad anurdam manasodhyadam evava. Whatever you have spoken with your mouth, vachodidam, it's all lie. And whatever you have thought through your mind, that's also a lie. It's only a state we are passing through, this mind and the words what we speak, the mind what we dream about. Vajodidam tad anurdam manaso dhyatam evava. Krishna is saying that is all false. That's all false anyway. It is a higher state of realization. Normally we will find it very even difficult to conceive it. But that's the way Krishna has mentioned there. And then he gives an example there. Chaya pratyahoya basam asando pyartha karinam. And asando pyartha karinam evam dehadayo bhavo echandyamrutido bhayam. He says that reflection and sound when it's bounced back, and rajasarpam, that means the snake rope being mistaken as a snake, all of those things are mithya. All of those things are mithya. Just like if you look at the mirror, your reflection in the mirror is a false thing. It's not real one. Similarly, sound when it's bouncing back, when you speak in a big hall, the sounds bounce back. That's a false thing. It's a bouncing back. Similarly, the snake being mistaken, rope is mistaken as a snake. All of them are false. But sometimes they also create some impact on the people. Isn't it? The reflection or the false things also create problems. like the snake creates the fear in a person's mind. The snake, the rope is not snake, but because you have understood it as a snake, it has created fear inside. This created fear inside. Similarly, Krishna is saying, although the body, the mind, intelligence, ego, everything is false, till you come out of the identity with them, you have to suffer from that. That's the principle. That's what he's saying there. Evam dehadayo bhavo yachandya mrityudo bhayam. So long as you have a body, mind, intelligence, ego, and your identification is with the body, you have to suffer from that. That is the way it is. Krishna says there. And in the sixth verse he says, Almeiva tadidam vishwam srijade srijadi prabhum trayade tradi vishwalma hriyade haradishwara. Very important verse. Almeiva tadidam vishwam. In Vishwam, there is only one thing, Atma, nothing else. Atma eva tadidam Vishwam. And everything is Atma, and the Atma creates, Atma keeps it going, Atma destroys it. The truth is only Atma in everything, the soul. Atma eva tadidam Vishwam. Atma eva tadidam Vishwam. Srijade srijade Prabhu. Srijade srijade Prabhu. And that same Atma, it creates. And it gets created, and it protects, and it gets protected. Everything is Atma. And Trayade Tradi Vishwalpa Priyade Hariri Ishwara. Everything in that function as Ishwara, controller, is also Atma. Atma is everything. Atma is Bhagavan. Atma is the Ishwara. Atma is everything. So as far as Krishna is concerned, that there's only one thing, ultimately, Atma. Atma is the source of everything. And then he mentions there, therefore he says to Uddhava, Uddhava, because it is like that, you should remember now, both Uddhava and Krishna is at a very advanced age now, isn't it? Krishna is practically 125 years old. And of course, Krishna is never old, but as far as this world is concerned, he is old. This world is concerned. And similarly, Uddhava also. They are the same age group, isn't it? So, Krishna is saying to Uddhava, Tasmana hyalpano anyas adanyo bhavo nirubhida nirubideyam trivitha nurmulam bhadiralmani idam gunavayam vidhi trivitham mayaya kritam. Therefore, outside this soul, Mahatmas, great personalities, they have not looked at anything else, only at the soul. When he is saying, referring to Mahatmas, Tasmanam hyalpano anyas adanyo bhavo nirubhida nirubideyam trivitha nirmulam bhadir almani idam gunamayam vidhi trividham mayaya kritam. Because what we see in this world, this samsara parampara, material existence, constantly flowing through this creation. That is what is called samsara parampara. Parampara of samsaram. This is not only disciplic succession, you know. There is parampara of other things also. There is parampara here. Disciplic succession is one parampara. But there is another parampara, samsara parampara. Everybody else belongs to that parampara who is not in the disciplic succession. So that parampara is material existence parampara. That parampara, samsara parampara, is flowing through this world, isn't it? So many living entities coming, so many living entities disappearing, the world creation is changing, all this is part of that parampara, samsara parampara. So, tasmanna hyalpanon anyas madanyo bhavo nirubhida. What will happen is that, although it is false, that samsara parampara, and because of the adhishthana satta, that's the word they use. Adhishthana satta means, why do we find this as real, this samsara parampara? Because behind that there is Atma. Because of that, we feel, experience that this is real. So he says, nirubideyam trivitha nirmulam. And this is basically understood by the realized souls. Nirubhidayam Trivitha. Trividam, what is that? Sattvam, Rajasa, Tamasa. That's all it is. Three modes of material nature. And know very well, he says, Niru Bhadir Almani, Idam Gunamayam Vidhi Trividham Mayayakritam. Maya is doing that. Maya is behind it, who is doing this, but we feel it is real because of the presence of the soul behind it. Saying that, Krishna says, therefore, Vidwan, learned person, Madudidam, knowing this whole process, Nanindadi, he does not offend or criticize anybody, Najastauti, nor he will glorify anybody. What will he do? Loki Charati Suryavat. Just like every morning, sun comes. Whether we call him or not, he comes, isn't it? And he witness our activities whole day. And then he goes. Every single day. And Krishna is giving that example. He says one has to be like that. Loke Charati Suryavat. He says, like Surya. Sun comes, sees everything what goes on, and then he goes. Never identifies with the world. Isn't it? Sun never identifies with the world. He comes, appears in the morning, then in the evening he disappears. He comes and goes. So similarly, in the here also, that's important point, that the when self-realization happens, Sobhavam Adhyalpam Uchyate, he mentioned earlier before, that when we become that akhanda vastu, that means we realize that we are not limited to the body, it goes beyond the body, and what happened? Akramya deham cha vishwam cha, Upanishad says. It goes beyond the body and he sees that the whole creation is nothing but that akhanda sata, unbroken substance or soul which is present everywhere. And it goes beyond, it goes beyond the body, bodily identity, and it is present in everything at that time. That Chidvastu, it becomes the Chidagasham, in other words. Atyanyaja vityanyaja desham asti. See, a person who is completely ignorant, and a person who is in the process of realization, both of them have the understanding that they've got the body, isn't it? Suppose you have studied a lot and you have understood a lot, or you have not studied anything, you have not understood anything. Both party knows that they have got the body. They have got the body. So, and they still feel that they have got the body. Whereas Jnani goes beyond the body. Jnani goes beyond the body. What happened to him? He goes beyond the body. Not only that, he goes even beyond the creation. He goes beyond the creation. Because he has completely identified with the Atma. That's what will happen. When you initially, these are all different stages in the self-realization that happens to everybody. When he goes through that progress path in the spiritual life. At some stage, initially we only think about the body. From body we come to the understanding that there is Jiva inside. From that Jiva understanding, we start realizing that Jiva is also getting its that existence from another source, which is Antaryami inside. And what is the difference? Then there you start separating Purusha and Prakriti, two things, Purusha and Prakriti. Then you start, Krishna is saying here, purely based on the Vedantam, that statement, what Krishna has made in that chapter, it's a Vedantic concept, that Prakriti, Purusha don't exist, Vishwam Ekatmakam Pashyan, only Atma exists. Prakriti and Purusha has come from Atma. That's all. There's only that oneness is stressed there. So, so similarly, initially for us, we are in the body. Even when we are no understanding of spiritual life, we are inside the body. Even after we hear a lot, we are still in the body. We are still in the body. But when realization happens, what happens? We go beyond the body. We come out of the body then. Because body is a, just like we discussed yesterday, Ghadakasham and Mahakasham, isn't it? The pot, clay pot, sky inside the pot and Mahakasham. Sky is the reality, pot is not the reality. When pot is broken, we started realizing there's only one sky. When we had the pot, we started thinking there is sky inside the pot, outside the pot. When the pot was broken, we came to understand that there is only one sky, finally. In the same way that Parikshit was told by Shukabrahmarshi at the time. In the same way, here also, that when he crosses beyond the body, Jnani also realizes that Brahmanibhuti, Anibhuti of Brahman, that Brahman alone exists. Only Brahman alone exists. Here is the catch. Up to this point, we were realizing Aham Brahmasmi. This Aham Brahmasmi is a very confusing realization. We'll tell you why. Most of the people, if you ask, you will say Aham Brahmasmi. You will say. Actually, what happens is that it is not Aham becomes Brahmasmi. What happens is Aham goes away, only Brahman exists. That is the reality. Aham goes away and only Brahman exists. That is Aham Brahmasmi. Not we keep saying that Aham has become Brahman. Aham doesn't become Brahman. What happens is Aham goes away, only Brahman exists. That is Aham Brahmasmi state. That's a big difference there. Now, we will always criticize sometimes. We say that they all become God. They don't become God. They realize that they don't exist, only God exists. This is the proper understanding of that, explanation of that. That Aham Brahmasmi is Aham doesn't exist anymore. Aham gone. Only Brahman exists. That is Aham Brahmasmi. That is that how we have to understand that word, that statement, Aham Brahmasmi. Otherwise it's confusing that one day I also become Brahman. Aham Brahmasmi means that Aham is gone, only Brahman exists. Aham is gone, Brahman exists. So that is, as long as, remember this also, as long as you are thinking, or if you have this feeling inside, I am inside this body, that means you are still in bondage. You are not liberated. As long as you are thinking that you are still inside the body, you are still in bondage. So that stage is, Krishna is calling it as Purushascha Adhidevadam. See that? Text 4, Purushascha Adhidevadam. That's what that is. You have come a little bit in spiritual life, but you have not come out of the body. You are still thinking, you are realizing that there is spirit soul inside, and you are accepting the presence of the soul inside, but you are thinking that that soul is limited to only to this body. As long as you have that thought that you are bound by the body, you are staying within this body, that is that state, Purushascha Adhidevadam, Krishna is saying there. So if you keep on giving attention to that Purusha inside, that means who am I and what is this experience, my experience, and the substance is very simple, the message is very simple, based on the Bhagavad Gita, that you are asking this question, that who am I, this I inside, and that experience also you have inside. So, moment by moment, when your attention is on that awareness inside, you will notice that this awareness is in everything, present in every living entity, is the same awareness. You'll come to that understanding later on. You'll come to that understanding that this awareness is everything. Just like they give the example, in mathematics you have number one, isn't it? And according to Vedantam, there is only one number, one. All other numbers, you keep adding to this. You add one to one, it becomes two. But in reality, there is only one. Only one thing. You keep on adding and you make it more and more. So, plus one, three, plus one, four, like that. But they are all one at the end, isn't it? And similarly, all our experiences in this world and this creation, and all our spiritual experiences also, and material experiences also, everything, there is a cause behind it, one cause behind it, and that is what they call it as bodhasmriti, bodhajanya smriti. It's from that awareness everything is coming. From inside that awareness, it's coming. All different kinds of experiences here. And that bodha smriti, this is not ordinary memory. That also we have to mention here. Normally, when we say smriti, normally what do we say? Memory, isn't it? People have misunderstood that verse also. In the Bhagavad Gita, you know that verse? Mattasmadrijnanam apohanam cha. There is a verse. Which one? In the later on, I think it's the 13th chapter or something. Vedeshya sarver ahameva vedyo. Vedandakrit vedamideva chaham. Sarvasya chaham hridisanyavishto. That verse. Isn't it? 15. Yeah. Sarvasya chaham hridisanyavishto. Matha smriti jnanam apohanam cha. The translation is memory there. Isn't it? If you say memory, it's not correct. Memory is in the brain. Matha smriti jnanam apohanam cha. When you come to the spiritual side of it, it's not memory anymore. What it is this experience inside that will bodha smriti it is. Memory is coming from the brain, whereas smriti is coming from bodham, awareness. They are two different things. Do you get that point? What comes from the bodham, awareness, and what comes from the brain, they are two different things. Both appear as though it's the same to us, but as far as source is concerned, it's coming from. Bodha smriti, you cannot take it away. Smriti from the brain, it will go at the time of death. It will go at the time of death. Bodha smriti will remain. That's why they call it as bodha janya smriti. Smriti born from bodham, they call it. Bodha janya smriti. For this reason, they identify specifically like that. Bodha janya smriti. Krishna mentions here smaran, isn't it? Smarana. Smaran. Smaran means, not necessarily meaning is memory. Memory is based on brain. Memory is based on brain. You have to understand this very clearly, because whatever you are keeping in your memory based on the brain, they will remain only you have to, so long as you have the brain. That memory will remain. For example, I'm studying a textbook, say physics or chemistry or anything, some subject like that. For the sake, I need to have that in my memory, and that memory is in the brain. That through brain I have captured it and kept it here. And I only need it till examination is over. After that, I don't carry that with me to the rest of the life, do I? Finished. Purpose is over. So brain decides then that it can go now, and it goes. Within a very short time it goes. So that memory, what I have brought it into my head through the brain, that will only stay so long as the brain is working. If the brain fails, that memory will go. It won't stay anymore. Therefore, it is mentioned here that we talk about this normally. I'm always remembering Krishna. People say like this. I'm always trying to remember Krishna. People say like this, isn't it? I'm always trying to remember Krishna. After some time, if anything happens to your brain, we will start remembering something else. You won't be remembering Krishna anymore. Because you were remembering Krishna through the brain, therefore when brain fails, your remembrance of Krishna also will go. There's a problem there, isn't it? Because that's all we know. Whole life we have practiced it like that. To remember everything through the brain. So, because it is like a machine, the brain is like a machine. Once a machine breaks down, thing called brain, you can't do anything about it. Therefore, beyond the brain and beyond the mind, There is a source from where the brain and mind has come. That is what is known as the Chit Shakti, Chaitanyam or Chit Shakti. And that Chit Shakti is the reality, is the truth, Satyavastu or Satyavastu, and that is Krishna's form. That is Krishna's form. And that, what we address that, behind, where the brain has come from, where the mind has come from, or intelligence has come from, they have a source from where everything has come. What we call that as Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam. That's what that is. Eternal, pure, completely pure, fully conscious, and always liberated. That's avastha. That's Swarupam. That seeing that, one who has seen that, he will not lose it again. You can't lose it again. So, this smarana at the time of death, smarana, what says in that verse, in the fifth verse, andakaleja mameva smaran tektva muktva kalayabaram. That smarana has to come from there, not from the brain. This is the important point. It won't come from the brain, first of all, because brain will fail before death. One after the other, different parts of the body, faculties will fail. Different faculties in the body will fail. You can see that. Kidney fails, liver fails, and so many, breathing system all fails. So many things one after the other fails before the death. Similarly, the system brain also failed. So there is no possibility of bringing that smarana from the memory of the brain. It has to come from the that Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam behind. From that smarana comes and has to save you at the time of death. This is very important point. Never to trust the brain, never to trust the mind, never to trust the intelligence. All the faith we have based on this Krishna's words, whatever that comes from that Chit Shakti inside. And if it has to come from there, it cannot happen without Krishna's grace. That Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam has to make that decision to bring you that memory at that time within you. And that is not affected by the condition of the body, mind or intelligence. It cannot cause any interference there. It cannot interfere in that memory that comes from the Chit Shakti. So, therefore, whether you like it or you don't like it, whether you thought about it or not thought about it, whether you have slept or you have done some vyavaharam, transactions in this world, he will get it at the time of death. This is another side to it. You may be engaged in vyavaharam with your mind and brain. This is all the interesting aspect of the leaving the body. You may be in sleep. You may be engaged in some vyavaharam with family members or friends, whoever is there at the time of death. Or you may be getting other thoughts through the mind. Doesn't matter. This force that will come from the Chit Shakti is more powerful. It will push the whole thing out and it will come in the front. That's how it happens. It is there in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna mentions all these things there. That it has to be like that. It can't be based on the mind or intelligence. Isn't it? It can't be based on the mind and intelligence. That is why in spiritual life, mind, intelligence and all are secondary things. It hasn't got much of a value there. So, at that stage, if it has come from Chit Shakti, from the Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam, if from there, if that smarana comes, what Krishna mentions here, andakalecha mameva smaran muktva kalevaram. If the smarana has come from that source, then no matter what happens at the time of death with the body, mind or intelligence, you will escape, you won't come back. That's the beauty. So, there is always safeguard in Krishna's arrangement. Krishna has created in such a way that Krishna doesn't think that we have to be dependent on the mind or the body or the intelligence. This is a very subtle point in the spiritual realization. Acharya Swamiji mentions this in the Bhashyam, that if you have taken Krishna's shelter, and if you have genuinely surrendered to Krishna, and if you have accepted this, what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, that Krishna will protect me at the time of death, you don't have to worry about it, because normally what happens to all of us, we start thinking, will Krishna come? We start doubting. Because why is that? We are frightened about our own mind, because we know our mind better than anybody else. The mind is bringing forth all sorts of thoughts waves inside, isn't it? So we always have the fear inside, this mind will beat us down at the time of death. Krishna says, no, it can't. If you have genuinely taken Krishna's shelter without any duplicity, knowing very well the science of death, what Krishna is talking about in this chapter, Krishna is saying, at that point, it will come from this Chit-Shakti, that force, in such a way that Smarana will come and you will not come back again. What the body does, mind does, or the intelligence does, or the brain does, or the memory does, doesn't matter. That's not important. It is that Smarana that comes from the Chit-Shakti that will do the job. That will do the business. That's what it means. So, because it says that he is not a loser, because at that time, who has reached that stage, already once that has come, he's already outside the body. He's out of the body. At the time of death, Krishna is saying, at the time of death, from the Chit-Shakti, if that Smarana comes, from the Chit-Shakti, Andhakalecha Mameva Smaran Muktva Kalayavaram. Krishna is saying, if that force that comes from the Chit-Shakti, if it comes, then he's already liberated. Even though the body has not finished yet. Body has not finished yet. Therefore, he has already left the body. He has left the body. An example is there. That is why in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is talking about King Janaka. Janaka is the best example for that. So, when Janaka got self-realized, when Janaka was realized, he said that either all bodies are my body or no body is mine, he said. That's how he spoke about it. Either because of that state of realization. Yeah, he has gone so high that he's saying that all bodies are my body. Just like Sukadeva Goswami also said, isn't it? That's why that statement in the Bhagavatam is important. Tam sarva bhuta hridayam muni mana tosmi. Sarva bhuta hridayam. Once you feel your presence in everyone, then what happens? Then you start seeing that everybody is my body, isn't it? Once you feel your own presence in everything. Initially, before that, you only limit. First, we start with our own body. When we start with our own body. At that time, you only know I am one individual soul trapped in this individual body. This way I start everything. But as we advance, we realize it, that I am not trapped in this body. I am everywhere. Everywhere presence. That is Chidakasham. That's the Akhanda Vastu. Nitya Shuddha Buddhamatta Swarupam. That's what it is. That Akhanda Vastu. One who has reached that state, it's a very fine, higher state, that then you see that there is no individual body existing, or I am all body is me. I am present in everybody. Or I have no body. That's also possible, either way it is. So, therefore, in that state, whether one body comes or goes doesn't matter. One body comes or goes doesn't matter. Because all bodies are mine. Akhanda Vastu, that is. Isn't it? Otherwise, no body is mine. There's no body for me. So, so that Vastu, which is not in the body, what is known as Ashariram. Ashariram. It is that Ashariram comes in the Chandogya Upanishad. Ashariram Vava Sandam. That Ashariram state. That you have no, you are existing then without a body. That has happened. And whether the body is there or not doesn't matter. You have gone away from the body. Body may be functioning still. It may stay a little while longer. Doesn't matter. You have gone from the body anyway. Just like in the sky, thunder comes, isn't it? Thunder comes. How does the thunder come? Suddenly thunder happens when what the scientist says there is a potential difference in the sky. So immediately it thunders, isn't it? And it thunders. So when all the necessary situations, necessary things have come together, and it appears, thunder appears and goes away. So similarly, from all these things that has appeared in us, mind, intelligence, ego, and senses, all sorts of things, it has all appeared from where? From the Chit Shakti. And when the time comes, it all goes back to the same place where it came from. Where it came from. Similarly, in that Akhandam, Akhandam means that sky, Chidakasham it is called, Akhandam. In there, this body is appearing. And this body is disappearing also. Once this body goes, once we lose this body, do we think about this body anymore? We don't think about it, do we? What happens after death? Do we keep thinking about, oh, I had such a nice body before? Never, I don't think anybody thinks about it, isn't it? Or do we think about any other last body we lost in the last life? No idea what it was and what it looked like. Or so this is how far we are connected with this body. Only when it's there, we look at it and say, ah, this is mine. But when it goes, it's gone. Then you don't think about it anymore. Equally, even about others, that when they die and go, what we remember is their body. This is another foolish side of it. What we think about others is their body. They have gone. Therefore, in the Chitraketu Upakhyanam, you will notice in the Bhagavadam, Chitraketu story, Narada Maharshi called that Jiva back to come back, isn't it? Jiva came back. And he says to Jiva, why you are putting your parents into this distress? Who is saying to the Jiva, why you are putting your parents to distress? Look at them, how they sad they are. Chitraketu and Kritadidhi, father and mother. Jiva is saying, my dear sage, my food here is finished. I'm going to the next place. My food is finished. I'm going to the next place. If I start worrying about them, there are others worrying about me, because I was also father and mother for so many other people in so many lifetimes. Like they are my father and mother. And when Jiva started speaking like this, Chitraketu realized his foolishness. He was holding on to this Jiva, thinking that it's my son and he has left me and all that. Everything disappeared in 1 minute when the Jiva spoke like this. So that is all this connection with this body is concerned. So here, what is important here is that in that Chitshak Chidakasham, body is an appearance here. That is the only thing. Body has growth, all the changes, 6 kinds of changes that happens in the body. The soul has no changes. It doesn't grow, it doesn't have byproducts, it doesn't start decaying, it doesn't have death, any of those things. We are always perfect and complete. And this understanding has to come to us through the spiritual inquiry. That is spiritual inquiry for. Through spiritual inquiry, we should reach that state that we are always perfect, complete in all aspects. Changes are all happening in the body. Changes are happening in the mind, intelligence and all that. So this is not bhavam. This is not a bhavam. Bhavam is that what you create inside in your bhavam, in mind, isn't it? This state is called bhavatitam, beyond the bhavam. Beyond the bhavam. So in bhavam, what do you do? In bhavam, for example, let's understand this. That suppose you are worshipping a form somewhere. Doesn't matter whichever form you are worshipping. And you are performing your sadhana on the strength of your bhavam. Isn't it? Bhava balam, that is. Bhava balam means, say you are worshipping the deity. Say Krishna's deity or Ramchandra's deity or Shiva's deity. Doesn't matter. Whatever form you are worshipping, you are doing that through the power of your bhavam. Bhava balam it is. It is bhava balam. So, doing in that way, upasana or worship in that way, later on what happens? That Chittavritti goes away. When you continuously engage in the worship of the deity, all the Chittavrittis comes to an end. Ultimately, through the power of the same bhavam, or power of the bhavam, whatever form you are worshipping, that form will appear from the Chit Shakti. It is meant to happen that way, from the Chit Shakti. And you will know that that's also coming from the Chit Shakti. It stays there due to the power of Chit Shakti. Eventually it goes and dissolves in the Chit Shakti. So, but when you start seeing even that form is coming from the Chit Shakti, then you start noticing that Chit Shakti which is behind that form as well. In other words, that Chit Shakti is not in the bhavam, it is beyond bhavam, transcending the bhavam, in other words. Transcending the bhavatitam, that is mentioned. Bhavatitam, that is, you have transcended the bhavam. In bhavam, you are worshipping the particular form, any deity for that matter, with the bhavam inside. But after worshipping you a long time, you will start realizing that the bhavam has also come from that Chit Shakti. Chit Shakti has created that. And that in the meditation, it will appear that it is coming from the Chit Shakti. Due to the power of Chit Shakti, behind that, the bhavam is remaining. And eventually, when it dissolves in the Chit Shakti, bhavam goes away. So, but at that time, you have gone beyond the bhavam, you have reached the state of Chit Shakti. You have actually touched the screen behind it, behind everything. So, when you touch that Chit Shakti, that state is called Parabhakti. That is Bhakti. That is Parabhakti. Or in the devotee's language, it's called Parabhakti. In the Jnani, it's called Jivan Mukti. Jnani call it as Jivan Mukti. Devotees call it as Parabhakti. But that is that state. Because bhavam appears from the mind. Different bhavam comes, isn't it? Even while, when you have a nice kirtan, you feel very ecstatic about it. Is it not? How is that feeling coming? It is a bhavam inside, the mood inside. Either by hearing the holy name, or by engaging in a sankirtanam, nama sankirtanam, chanting, all these time. When you chant a lot the holy name, you create a bhavam inside. Bhavam inside. That bhavam is from the mind it is coming initially. But then when you advance in that, when you make a lot of advancement in that by chanting the holy name for a long period of time and seriously, bhavam will make you realize that it's coming from the, it will take you to that force behind it which is the Chit Shakti. So, and he will start realizing that that bhavam what you had at that point, it has come from the Chit Shakti. And it is staying because of the Chit Shakti behind that, you will start touching that Chit Shakti, which we call as Radharani. Radharani is that Chit Shakti behind. So, when we are completely situated on that Chit Shakti, that state is called Parabhakti. What Krishna calls as Parabhakti. Like you remember in the Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna says, Brahma Buddha, Prasannalpa, Na Shochati, Na Kankshati, Sama Sarveshu Bhudeshu Madhbhaktim Labhade Param. That is the only bhakti, that is the real bhakti, what Krishna is talking about. So, interesting thing is that in that state, different bhavam will come and go. Different kinds of bhavam. Bhavam means, how would you say bhavam practically? You can say that. Yeah, or the mood or whatever that word, I don't know what it is. Bhavam it is, the mood that comes. So many things will come and disappear at that time. But whatever comes and goes, he will know at that time, I am not that bhavam. I am not that bhavam. I am pure consciousness. I am pure consciousness. That will be there. Just like we gave the example before, on the screen, any cinema comes, you know very well, it will not affect the screen. So someone who is seeing the cinema, he won't see the screen. One who is seeing the screen, he won't see the cinema. Isn't it? So they will be like those who are seeing the screen. They won't see the cinema anymore. Therefore, one day, you will see that there will be this bhakti cinema going on there. There will be another day violence cinema will be going on there. And one day, another day, a humor cinema or a comedy cinema or a tragedy cinema. So many cinemas will be going on in that screen. In that screen. None of them touches the screen. You can see that when you see the cinema, sometimes there is a war in the screen, in the cinema, isn't it? And sometimes there is heavy rain or a big fire. Nothing happens to the screen. It's only in the cinema. That will be the state of that realized soul. He'll be in that state. He'll be like that. So many things will be happening, but inside it is, he has touched that Chit Shakti inside. Therefore, for him, everything is a cinema. Going in the background, the screen is Chit Shakti. In that Chit Shakti. It will not touch him. So, similarly, this awareness what we have inside us, in there, all bhavam, all other emotions or thoughts, what comes through, including our personality, individuality, that bhavam, I am somebody, that one, this world, this body, and all other different names and forms, everything is appearing, it remains in that, and eventually it dissolves. And even then, name buddhihi na mokshayaha. Ashtavakra Maharshi gives this instructions to Janaka. If you look in Ashtavakra Maharshi's statement there, he mentions this, that conversation between King Janaka and the sage Ashtavakra. They're talking to each other, and he says, Janaka says here that sa shariram aho vishwam parityajya mayadhuna kutaschit kaushala deva paramatma vilokyate. Janaka is saying, sa shariram aho vishwam. That means parityajya. Body and the world has gone away from me. Janaka is saying to Ashtavakra, the body has gone and the world has also gone from me. Parityajya mayadhuna kutaschid. That means, when I have left them, I lost my abhimanam. Abhimanam means identification with that. Because of that, kutaschit kaushala deva paramalpa vilokyate. Only thing I am conscious of that is that entity, alma, paramalpa vilokyate. Nothing else is at the moment in me. Nothing else is in me at the moment. So, aho niranjanam shando bodhoham prakrite para edavandam aham kalam moheneiva vidambida. So, after he heard from Ashtavakra Maharshi, when Ashtavakra Maharshi mentioned this to him, that name buddhihi na mokshayaha, he says earlier, Janakan says to him, I am situated in a very amazing state, he says. Who says? Janaka says there. That, and whatever it may be, he says that I am only realizing that Paramatma only exists. And what is that state? What is that state? He says, Mai Ananda Mahambhodo Jagadviji Subhavata Udedu Vastamayatu Name Vridhir Name Kshati. He says, My Ananda Mahambhodo Jagadviji Subhavata Udedu Vastamayatu Name Vridhir Name Kshati. In the ocean, sometimes very strong waves come and then they disappear. Because of that, the ocean is not disturbed due to that. Similarly, he says, when you have realized this, your presence in everything, Chidakasham, that realization, I start realizing that in that ocean of Satta Chitta Anandam, Satchidananda Samudram, it's called, the ocean of this eternity, blissfulness and full of knowledge, in that ocean, this creation is like a wave that appearing in that ocean. Creation is like a wave that has appeared in that ocean. And this world, which has appeared like a big wave, it appears and disappears, but it's all happening in that ocean. And who is that ocean? That's me. Do you get that? What means? That when we have come out of this body, initially we start with the body, but when you come out of the body, and this is Vedantam's beautiful presentation. Why is it so beautiful? Let me explain that. When we have come out of the body, and we started seeing that, like Janaka says to Ashavakra, this all you have to reflect, lot of spiritual inquiry you have to do, then you will get it. Also, it's very interesting in saying that the Sachidananda Vastu, that Chidakasham, what is talked about, its nature, by very nature, like Janaka said, I am present in everything, that state. Present in everything, that state. While being present in everything, Ashtavakra is asking what is the realization at that time. He says, all this world is appearing from that, like the waves coming up in this ocean and is disappearing. Now, then he is saying here, I have also started seeing that this world, which is in the what is known as Jagat, this creation, it is also another wave that is coming up in me. I am that ocean, and it stands in me and it disappears in me. This is how the word lokam has come in Sanskrit. Lokam. Alokyate iti lokaha. That is the definition. That means world is not what you see actually. World is not what you see with your eyes. It has no value. Where does the world stand? World is where it stands is within you. Within you. Once Ramana Maharshi was asked this question. One disciple asked him to come to America. He told him, where is America? America is inside me. That's a state of realization. Similarly, he was invited to come to Haridwar. He said, where is Haridwar? Haridwar is in he. So if you have reached that state, because then you can't travel from A to B. You have gone beyond space. Isn't it? That's what we are talking about. Remember two things, time and space. When do you transcend space? When this happens. When this realization happens, you have transcended space. Otherwise, you can't transcend space. That means you know that everywhere there is only you, nothing else. That you is what? Chidakasham. That Chidakasham, you have become that, or Aham has become Brahmam, Aham Brahmasmi. When that happens, but prior to that, prajnanam brahmam, consciousness has to become Brahman. Consciousness becomes. And then the next one is Aham Brahmasmi. So when that happens, there is no space anymore. And these two things, time and space, you have to transcend. Only then you reach that state. Time, we will come to that later. Krishna is going to talk about time later in the same chapter. How you transcend time. Transcending space is like this. That it comes a state that you have gone to such a level that you are, first of all, you come out of the body. Not only that, you have identified, your realization has come to that Aham Brahmasmi state. In that Aham Brahmasmi state, Janaka Maharshi, King Janaka is saying to Ashavakra that, My Ananda Maham Bhodau Jagad Viji Sobhavada Udedu Vastu Mayatu Name Vridhir Name Kshati. He says that whether there is a wave coming or wave goes away, doesn't happen, it does nothing to the sea, to the ocean, nothing happens. Similarly, I am like an ocean now, full of eternity, bliss and full of knowledge. And in that ocean, what appears is this creation, like a wave. It appears here. And this appears, it stays for some time, it disappears. And when that happens, I realize that to me, there is no growth, there is no change, or there is no destruction. I see me as without any change, without any destruction, without any growth, without any decay. I see all these things happening in the world. Normally, when we are identified with the body, what happens? When we come here, we think the world is permanent. I am in the world. I am in the world. And I am experiencing the changes with the body, isn't it? Now, when you come to spiritual realization, what happens? I don't change, the world disappears. World is changing. I am not changing. Normally we come here and we see the world is remaining here permanently. Change is always happening in me. I take birth, I grow, I become old, I die. But world is still there, isn't it? That is through the body when you look at. But when you have realized the truth, what happens at that time? You already come out of the body and you have come to the state of Satchitanandam, Satchitananda state. And in that Satchitananda state, everywhere that's you. Tam sarvabhuta hridayam manimana tosmi. Shubhramarshi state. In that state, what will happen is that you start seeing here that my ananda maham bhodau jagad viji subhavata udedu vastu mayatu name vridhir name kshati. World is nothing but another wave that has come in that Satchitananda state. And world will disappear. World will come and world will disappear, but no changes happens in me. I am still the same person. I am still the same entity. Chidagasham state. So, Mayananda Maham Bhodo Vishwam Nama Vigalpana Adishando Nirakara Eta Devaham Astidam. I am that Satchidanandam, eternal blissful knowledge, and in there, this creation is only a pratiti, perception. It's only a perception. That is why they say the world is not real. Jagat is mithya, because of that. So, this is a Brahmam inside, that this is the reality. It's a Brahmam inside us. So, when Shanti comes and you start realizing that, then from there on, you are living on the awareness of the soul, not the awareness of the body anymore. You have gone beyond that awareness of the body. That's what it's mentioned there. So, here you can see, Name Vriddhi Name Kshayaha. Because the world has born and nothing has happened to my consciousness, in other words, that it didn't change, it hasn't grown or it hasn't destroyed, and I am the same thing all the time, continuously. Nirahara mega velam. And so, Janaka says there, one who has come to that state of consciousness, for them, death is not anymore an incident. Death is not an incident anymore. Because as far as body is concerned, body is going to drop. That's all. Body is going to drop. When Parikshit reached that state, When he reached that state, Shuka Brahmarshi told him in the Bhagavatam, you should not think anymore that you have got death. That's when Parishit, Tomturajan Marishyedi, Pashabuddhi Mimam Jahi, that verse in the, and they have, so you have, and he also told him that you are not born. These are all corresponding to that state. What Janaka is talking about, Shuka Brahmarshi is talking to Parikshit, this is all the same state. Remember that? In the Bhagavadam, when he mentioned there, Tonturajan Marishyedi Pashabuddhi Mimam Jahi. And what else did he say? Fifth chapter. Na jataha. Tundujadan Marishyedi, Tumdurajan Marishyedi, Pashabuddhi Mimam Jahi. Na jataha. To tell somebody you are not born. Unless you are in that state, you couldn't say that, could you? Obviously, Shuka Brahmarshi knows very well what he is saying. He says to Parikshit, you are not born. Praga Bhudhodhyam Dehavatvam Na Nangshesi. Because Pragabhudhodhyam Dehavatvam Na Nangshesi. You are not like the body. Don't put yourself in the same state as the body. Body was born. You are not born. That's the difference. Tumtura Janmarishyedi Pashubuddhi Mimam Jahi Najadaha Pragabudhodhya Dehavatvam Nanangshasi Nabhavishyasi Bhutvatvam Putrapautradirupavan Bijam Angravadehadir Vyadirito Yatha Nalaha Swapne Yatha Shirachedam Panjatvad Almanaswayam Yasmat Pashyati Dehasya Tada Alma Hyajo Amaraha Gade Bhinne Yadagasham Agashasyal Yadha Pura Evam Dehe Mrude Jivo Brahma Sambadhyade Puna Manasrajadi Vaidehan Gunan Karmani Chalpana Tan Manasrajade Maya Tato Jivasya Samsrati Sneham Adhishtanam Vartyagni Samyogam Yavadi Yade Tato dibasa dibatvam evam dehakrato bhava rajasattatamavurtyam jayate idha vinashyati natralpmasayam jyodi uvyakta avyaktayo paraha akasham ivachadharayo dhruvo anandopamastata evam alpmanam alpmastam alpmanevamrsha prabho buddhyanumanagarbhinyam vasudevanu chindayam chodido vipravakena natvam dakshati takshaka Murtivo dobadakshendi, Murtivanam, Murtivishwaraha. Aham Brahma Param Dhamma, Brahmaham Paramam Padam, Evam Samikshan Altmanam, Altmanyathayanushkale. Dashandam Dakshagam Pade, Lelihanam Mushanalehi, Nadrakshasi Shadiramcha, Vishwamcha, Prataka Altmanam. So those 12 verses are what is what Sukhara Brahmashi has spoken to Parikshit at the time of death. At the time of death of the body. So he says to him, you have no connection with this, he says. Who says? Shuka Brahmarshi says to Parikshit, you have no connection with this. You stay as you are. And let Takshaka comes and take your body away. And nothing will, it has anything to do with you. And after hearing that, Parikshit also stayed in that state. After that, Parikshit also stayed in that state. And that is why he mentions there, because he stayed in that state, the fear has gone away from him. Abhayam darshidam tvaya, he says. That's what he mentioned there, isn't it? Abhayam darshidam tvaya. I have attained that state of fearlessness. And that is what Krishna is saying here. This what? Experience. What Parikshit has experienced, that is the state Krishna is talking about in that verse. State of fearlessness. That's what Krishna is talking about. So, all these things we have to keep going through those verses again and again. And within ourselves, we have to get some experience of that. That's what is expected. Krishna is explaining to us, this is how the situation is with this body, with the mind, and with this smarana at the time of death. At least we get an understanding what that smarana means now, isn't it? Normally we misunderstand that smarana, because only smarana we know is what we keep it in the brain. That smarana is no use. That's what Krishna is saying there. So we'll continue after 15 minutes. So Arjuna's question was, Kim tad brahmam, kim adhyatmam, kim karma purushottama, adhi bhudam ja kim proktam, adhi devam kim uchyate. Then, adhi bhudam, adhi yajna katham kotra dehesmin madhusudana, prayana kale ja katham nyayusi niyadatmabhi. And Krishna answers, we saw the answer from Krishna, Aksharam Brahma Paramam, Svabhavam Adhyalpam Uchyate, Bhuda Bhavod Bhavakaro Visarga Karma Samyida. Then he mentions, Adhibhudam Ksharo Bhavam, Purushas Chadi Devadam, Adi Yajnyoham Evatra Dehe Deha Brudham Vara. And then we saw, Andakalecha Maam Evam, Smaran Muktua Kalevaram, Ya Prayadisa Madbhavam Yadi, Nastyatra Samshaya. Up to that we have seen. So, if you look into the commentary on these four verses, it's quite complicated in every commentary. It's quite complicated it is. So, therefore, what we can do is, when you see these verses, what is practical for us, that's all you can take and reflect on that. For example, in these verses, in a simple way, we have seen what is adhibhudam, adhidevam, adhiyajnam. And based on that, that next fourth verse, how when leaving the body, what happens at the time of death. There is much more much larger scale expansions on this, expanded descriptions of these things. And sometimes when you read, it's very difficult to even to get a grasp of it. So, it's not that, it's only due to our own avidya inside that we don't get it, what they have spoken. Many great acharyas have written such extended commentary on these verses. But due to our lack of purity or lack of understanding, then we will not be able to capture it better. But we have to leave it at the moment, thinking that whenever it happens, let it happen. That's the way you have to look at it. Adhibhudam, adhidevam, adhiyajnam, adhyatmam. All these things, adhibhudam, adhidevam, adhiyajnam, adhyatmam, all these things, Krishna has given a definition. And then Krishna has given a definition, and that is only an explanation of that, what we have seen so far. But adhibhudam, adhidevam, adhiyajnam is not the all important thing. The important thing is that in that fifth verse, what Krishna has spoken. What is that? Prayana kale cha katham nyayosi niyadal mabhi. Is remember, in the second verse, Arjuna asked a question. That is the question. The last two lines in the second verse. What was that? Prayana kale cha katham nyayosi niyadat mabhi. He says, isn't it? The last two lines of the second verse. Prayana kale cha katham nyayosi niyadat mabhi. That is the question. And answer to that is the fifth verse. Antakale cha mameva. Did you understand that verse? Prayana kale cha katham nyayosi niyadalmabhi. That is a question from Arjuna. How should I know you at the time of death? That's a question. It's not that Krishna Arjuna asked, how should I remember you? How should I know you? That's a question. There's a big difference there. Normally we say, you have to remember Krishna, we say. That's not what Arjuna asked. Arjuna's question is, how should I know you? Prayana kale cha katham nyeyosi niyadalmabhi. That's the question from Arjuna to Krishna. So, here, whatever Krishna is answering, that you have to, andakale cha maam eva smaran muktva kaleparam, that whatever you have remembering throughout your life, and whatever you are remembering throughout your life, and that will come at the time of death in front of you. That will come at time of death in front of you. In other words, throughout life, if you are conscious of something which you have all the time thought about in your life, and that will come in front of you at the time of death. In other words, whatever you have followed through, anusandhanam it's called, throughout your lifetime, at the time of death, that will come in front of you. That is the law. That is the law. So, at the end of life, if Bhagavad Dhyanam or thoughts of Krishna, if that has to come, all through life, there should be a continuity inside. Throughout life, that continuity should be there inside. Because anusandhanam is happening with the chit shakti. Memory is happening with the brain and mind. When you, like you can see, in our own life, certain things are not coming from memory. Certain things, it's not from in memory, but it is coming in experience level all the time, isn't it? For example, if you look certain in lifetime, certain incidents in life, suddenly it comes into your life. It brings back the memory of something from past what happened. That is not that you have stored that in your memory. You didn't store it. It has happened. And it was an experience for you. From an experience level, it's coming back. Say, for example, sometimes various things in life. Say, for example, some attachment somewhere developed in an early age to somebody, and then later on it got broken. And sometimes, even though it has broken, it comes back in sleep, or it comes back when waking up, or some incident like that, or some great disaster what you have witnessed and experienced yourself, things like that, it comes back. It's not coming back from the memory of it. It's actually coming from that, in a subtle level, inside that thoughts have been becoming strengthened inside. And that is what is called anusandhanam. Anusandhanam means, whatever you have caught on and you have continuously churned it inside, without your knowledge it happens. Churned it inside. Sometimes it comes out. Sometimes it comes out. And that is not done in a full conscience. You are not doing that. It's not done with full conscience. It has happened in that way. These are, everybody knows if you think about it. Certain things in life is like that. It is come back to you again without your knowledge, and sometimes it haunts you for a while, such an experience in the early life, things like that. So here, smaranam, Krishna is saying here that if similar way, if this hasn't happened, then Krishna consciousness, only then it will not happen. Only then it will happen at the time of death. So yesterday we saw, it is not from the intelligence. Smaranam means, smaranam nobody, normally means recollection. You recollect something. That's normal memory. You are recollecting. Suppose you have forgotten something. Then after a while, let me think about it, you say like this. And then you think about it a little while. And from your, you are recollecting and bringing it back. Isn't it? That's called recollection. It's called recollection. So, recollection is done with the intelligence. Remember that. Recollection is done with the intelligence. But this is smarana. What Krishna is talking about is not that one. So, so that intelligence which is bringing that recollection of the various incidents or whatever it is, that beyond than that, that power, that intelligence which is doing that recollection, beyond than that, there is one vastu, one substance, which will never go even if you want to get rid of it from inside. If you get that vastu in you, then only if you get that, you can trust about your death. Only if you have got it, then you can be sure about your death. What will happen at the time of death? Not from the recollection from the brain, but from that state which is beyond that recollection of the brain, there is a state there from where that vastu, that is what that Chit Shakti talking about, that you cannot you cannot otherwise trust about the death, what will happen. What will happen at the time of death? So if it happens now, suppose that has happened now, then even before death you can be guaranteed that it will happen at the time of death. Suppose you have got it now. So that is why this Jivan Mukta state, liberation while living in this body itself, is given so much importance. This religion, based on this understanding that everything will be after death, it's not a very reliable situation. If you are genuinely serious about spiritual life, if somebody says to you, I'll do all these things in my life, what will happen after death? I'll leave that to Krishna. Or I'll leave it to destiny, whatever happens. Or Krishna will do this for me, I've done all this for Krishna. That's all fine, that's okay. You can say like that and put your faith in that and live that life. That's one way of doing it. But we really want to give the proper understanding of spiritual life based on Shastram. They don't go in that direction. Upanishads don't teach like that. Upanishad says to us, if it has to happen, it has to happen here, today, now. And if there is a state like that, beyond the three states of vacant state, dream state and deep sleep, beyond that, if there is a state where there is a state where there is no death, if it is there, it has to be experienced here before you leave, body drops away. And then you can say, this is all, you can accept it, authority of the Shastram. Which makes more sense to many people, therefore Vedantam is always respected for this. It's not offering something to you after death. Who knows what will happen after death? And therefore in spiritual life, for your own advancement in spiritual life, this understanding is a necessity. That if it has to happen, it has to happen here, now, not after death. After death is like a promise. It's not know what will happen after death. Who knows, isn't it? But Krishna is saying here, that is why Krishna is saying, Bandham moksham, bondage and liberation and all that is nothing but a function of Maya. It's nothing but a function of Maya. So if you are released from the Maya's grip, then it has to happen here, right now. So, shariram, body, when a death happens, it's not a death anymore in that state. When the body drops away at that time, it's not a death anymore. And that is what is called Jivan Mukti. Jivan Mukti means we reach a state in this very life where you don't feel any fear of death anymore. Because what happened, like Parikshit's case, he has come to know that death is for the body, not for me. That separation has happened from the body and him. Body and him. That is Jivan Mukti state. Like Parikshit's case. Parikshit started realizing that death is for the body, not for me. Today, what are we thinking? We are thinking that I'm going to die. That's the understanding, isn't it? So, Krishna mentioned that smaran muktva, mam eva smaran muktva kalevaram. He says, andakalecha Mameva smaran muktva kalayabaram, he says. And this is a big science. This is a big science. So, at the time of death, that memory of the soul or Krishna, and practically, on a practical level, if you look into the life of the great Mahatmas, you will see this, who have left the body in that way. You will see that. When you see liberated souls in this world, or jnanis, or such great liberated souls, when you see them, when you say that, when you see them means not seeing them with the eye, but by somehow or the other, if you have made contact with them, if you come into their contact, and if they have accepted you, then you don't have to be frightened about death. If they have accepted you, then you don't have to be frightened about death. Because we are in a state now that their state of realized state, they know where they are. We don't know where we are. They know where they are. That's the present situation. But if they have accepted you, what it means is that their power will start working through us. And at the time of death, they will come and take you out from here. They'll come and take that possibility is there. Suppose you had come into contact with a realized soul. I'm talking about fully realized soul, who is in that state, what we have spoken about. If you are in contact with him, and if he has accepted you, that is also another thing. That has to happen. If he has accepted you, the guarantee is that at the time of death, he will take responsibility of that and get you out of this state. So, in other words, if their stamp has fallen on us, then they will take on. How will you get that stamp? In other words, in order to get that stamp, you have to listen to what they have said, told us, and to follow that in life 100%. Then, and whatever knowledge and realization they have in them, and in that knowledge, if it comes in us, that realization, if it comes through us, that will be that final release for us. It will come to us at the time of death. And at that time, what you have to understand is, that personality is not an individual person anymore. That jnani or mahalpa we are talking about is not an individual person anymore. And he is a jivan mukta state. Jivan mukti he is. Jivan mukta avastha. It's a liberated platform they are at that stage, isn't it? They are in a liberated platform. So, because they are in the liberated platform and not a person anymore. Why? Because he has lost his personality. He is the all-pervading Chidagasham, Chit Shakti. He has become that. That person has become that. So, and if he has accepted you, at the time of death, he can do that within us, that he can bring back that awareness inside, Bodhasmriti, and you will also escape from here, even if you have not done much sadhana in this life. This is one way of exiting from here. But for that, you have to find, that you have to come into contact with such a realized personal soul who is in that state, and secondly, he has to accept you. That option is there. But that to happen is very rare though. Normal people's life, it may not happen. It's only exceptional cases you will see this happen. Very, very exceptional cases. So, there, what's happening is, that is not a person anymore, Jivan Mukta state. It's not a person anymore because he has lost his individuality. Although his body may be there still. His individuality has gone and he has become Brahman himself. Therefore, he will suck you out from there in that state. Even though you are not ready for it, he will pull you out from that state. That happens in a very exceptional cases. It can happen. Then, and that force of that Jivan Mukta person who has liberated that way, he will give you the memory of the soul or self-realization, that power, he will give it to you at the time of death. In Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a wonderful example for this. Vritrasura. Vritrasura's example is that in the previous life, he was Chitraketu. Was it not? He was Chitraketu in the previous life. And he had, by Sri Narada Maharshi and Angiras, you know that story. Angiras went to him and told him to give him spiritual instructions. He didn't want it. He became affected by the, he had this desire to have a son, and then they gave him he performed a sacrifice like Putragameshti, and from that Kritadudi was given the Ohavisa. Kritadudi ate that, his wife, and she became pregnant. They had a son. Son was born. The child died very soon. That time Narada Maharshi and Angiras came there and again spoke to him about spiritual life. Narada Maharshi gave him a mantra to chant for 7 days. Chitraketu chanted that and he went to the spiritual world. He met Lord Balaram there. Krishna wasn't there. He met Lord Balaram. And then Lord Balaram gave him the position of a Vidyadhara, a higher species in this creation. And he was traveling all around. In that process, he went to Kailasam and saw Lord Shivarvadi and Shiva together. He made some comment there and offended Shivarvadi. Parvati cursed him. Parvati cursed him and told him, "You become a demon." And he became Vritrasura. That's the story behind it. When he became Vritrasura, then he was a very powerful big demon, isn't it? And in that, by now, Indra got frightened because he has taken control of the heavenly planets as well. So Indra wanted to kill him. So Indra was standing in front of him and trying to kill Vritrasura with his sword in the hand. At that time, in a short period of time, the death was going to come for Vritrasura. So you will notice there that in Vritrasura says at that time, from somewhere an experience is coming to him from previous life. And Sankarsana Murti, Lord Balaram, is instructing him in the battlefield. In the battlefield, Lord Sankarsana or Lord Balaram is instructing him in the battlefield. So, so this has happened in many instances, in exceptional cases, but for some people in this world also this has happened. At the time of death, because they have accepted you, they felt their responsibility to get you out from here at the time of death. Like it happened that Lord Balaram felt that Vritrasura must go now, come out from this. And at the time of death, Vritrasura is inside, right in the battlefield, he is glorifying. He is talking about Krishna. Aham Hare Tava Padaiga Moolam Dasanudaso Bhavidasmi Bhuyam. Otherwise, can you imagine a personality like Vritrasura, his body is completely like a demoniac body and demoniac thoughts inside. Very powerful demonic thoughts inside, because Parvati Devi cursed him for that, isn't it? To become like that. And with all that, and Indra is standing in front of him to kill him. And at that time, he is glorifying Krishna. Where did these thoughts come from? Aham Hare Tava Padaiga Moolam Dasanu Daso Bhavidasmi Bhuyaha Manasmarer Vamsupadeer Gunaste Grinida Vak Karma Karoti Kayam Na Naga Prashtam Na Japara Meshtyam Na Sarva Bhaumam Na Rasadivatyam ന യോഗ സിദ്ധീരപുനർഭവം വ സമഞ്ജസത്വാ വിരഹയ്യകാംക്ഷേ അജാതപക്ഷം ഇവ മാധരം ഖഖ സ്തന്യം യഥാ വത്സതരാക്ഷുധാർത്ഥ പ്രിയം പ്രിയേവാ വ്യഷിതം വിഷണ മനോ അരവിന്ദാക്ഷ ദുദൃക്ഷതേ ത്വാം. ദർ ഇസ് ഫോർ ഫൈവ് വേഴ്സസ്. ഇറ്റ്സ് എ മോസ്റ്റ് അമേസിംഗ് തിങ് ഇൻ ദ ഭാഗവതം. സംബഡി സ്റ്റാൻഡിംഗ് ഇൻ ദ ബാറ്റിൽ ഫീൽഡ് ആൻഡ് ദി എനിമി സ്റ്റാൻഡിംഗ് ഇൻ ഫ്രണ്ട് ഓഫ് യു റെഡി ടു കിൽ യു ആൻഡ് സഡൻലി ഫ്രം ഇൻസൈഡ് Krishna's glorification is coming out from a devotee, and that too from a demon's body. This is that example of that. Although Sri Parvati has cursed him and sent him there, because of Sankarsana Murti has accepted him before, therefore he escaped. Uddhasra escaped like that. That's what happened. Normally when you read Bhagavatam, what you will think about it? You will think, oh, there is, if you read the translation purport and all that, it mentions there, Krishna's devotees will never go, you can read it in the Bhagavatam. If you look, you will see there, in the sixth canto, what it says is that, that Krishna's devotees always protected, this is the example for that. We will say like that about this incident. That is how generally spoken, that Krishna's devotee is always protected, even though Sri Parvati has cursed him and he has at the time of death he remembered Krishna. But how did it happen? That you have to look at. It happened in this way. Even though Sri Parvati cursed him to become Vritrasura, Chitraketu became Vritrasura, isn't it? So even though Sri Parvati cursed him to become Vritrasura, because Sankarsana Murti, Balaram has accepted him before, it is Balaram's responsibility to save him. That's why even when he was going to be killed by Indra, right in the battlefield, that time Vritrasura's thoughts were all centered around Krishna. Centered around Krishna. And who gave that? Balaram gave it. This is how that happened. There is no other explanation to that. When you connect these stories in the Puranam, you have to find the logic behind it from Vedantam. Otherwise it won't work. It's not everything happens like that. There is a system which follows in everything. And that system is that Lord Balaram protected Chitraketu at the time of death, even though he fell into Vritrasura's body and Sri Parvati sent him to that body. But the escape route was, Chitraketu was not such a great devotee, you have to remember that. His sadhana is probably maximum 7 days, not more than that. So obviously it's not coming from Chitraketu's sadhana. But generally when we say from Bhagavatam, what do we say? Oh, because he was a devotee, he was taken care of. Not that because he was a devotee, it was because of Sankarsana Murti's acceptance of Chitraketu. That is the reason behind it. Generally, we will say that because he is a devotee, look at, and Shiva is saying to Parvati, Shiva is smiling and saying to Parvati, look at the position of a devotee. If you'll read those verses, you will find there. I'll read it out, one or two verses, so that you know how you can easily get how you will get a little bit distracted from that. Vritrasura story, if you read, it is in the sixth canto, there where it says that Indra is going to kill Vritrasura. You know Vritrasura's history behind, and yeah, one second. Yeah. No. What we have to look at is Parvati cursing Chitraketu. That's what you should look at. Sri Parvati cursed Chitraketu. You know the history of Chitraketu, don't you? Chitraketu was a king. And Chitraketu wanted a son. He had a son. Narada Maharshi and Angiras blessed him with a son, and he had a son. The son died. And Narada Maharshi and Angiras came again to the palace and told that son who left to come back, Jiva, called him back. And Jiva spoke and told them, Jiva says to him that Jiva says there that you will see there in the words Jiva Vacha somewhere. Jiva says to him that if you look in the 16th chapter, Jiva says to him, why you are pulling me back? I have finished business here. I'm going to the next body, he says. 16th chapter, verse 4, 5, 6 are all Jiva's answer. Jiva is saying, yadha vastuni panyani hemadini tatastada pariyadanti nareshu evam jivo yonishu kartrashu. Sixth verse. Then the banknote. When it is with you, you will say it's yours. When you give it to me, I'll say it's mine. And when I give it to the bank will say it's the bank's money. So whose money is it? Similarly, Jiva is saying, when I am with Chitrakedu and Kritadyuti, I was theirs. Now I'm going somewhere else and I'll be theirs then. Somebody else, where I'm going to take birth. And he gives this example, yadha vastuni panyani hemadini tatastada paryadani nareshevam jivo yonishu kartrashu. He says, jivo yonishu kartrashu. So after saying that, there's a lot of discussion. It's a very beautiful discussion in the Bhagavatam. Then after that, in the Parvati cursed Chitrakedu, after this incident, isn't it? That before that, when the child died, Chitrakedu came to his senses. Till now, Chitrakedu hasn't performed any sadhana, serious sadhana. Srinivasa Maharshi and Angiras comes there second time. First time Angiras came alone, this time he brought Narada Maharshi with him. Together they came. And they told the king, why do you cry? And then Chitrakedu changed his mind after hearing from the Jiva, his son who left. So they told Chitrakedu, now you take the spiritual life seriously. Narada Maharshi gave him a special mantra to chant. And told him to chant that. And he started chanting. And he said, if you chant this continuously for 7 days, you will reach the spiritual world. That's how he was told. So he chanted for 7 days. And when he, after the chanting was over, when he woke up, he realized that he was in the presence of Lord Balaram. Lord Balaram. He was in the spiritual world with Balaram. Krishna wasn't there. Only Balaram was there. So Balaram accepted him as a devotee and told him, now you go as a Vidyadhara and live a life for a long period of time before you come to the spiritual world. While in the Vidyadhara's body, he offended Sri Parvati with other Vidyadharas. Remember that story I mentioned also before, that he has got there. Vidyadhara is a very higher position compared to human species. When he got there, all other Vidyadharas who were with him, they found out that this person has come through the back door. That's what happened. Not through the proper way. Because he hasn't done any sadhana. So therefore what they did, they were traveling. Vidyadharas are very famous personalities they have. They are always in a very happy state. They can know a lot of things, what goes on in the creation. They have a lot of yogic powers they have. So they were traveling to see Lord Shiva in Kailasam. To see Kailasam. So while they were traveling, this man, new Vidyadhara, who has got his new job, new position, he said, I am also coming with you, he said. They, seeing his state of, you know, he found out that he's a new entry. Let him stay some time. Let's find out what type of person he is. So they told him, don't come. You stay here. He said, no. Why can't I come? That was his attitude. So he said, okay. They said, okay, you come then. You also come. They took him. They all went together. When they got there, what they saw was many, many great sages were sitting there. And Sri Parvati was sitting naked, completely naked, in Shiva's lap. Shiva and Sri Parvati was like that. That particular scenario. And no sages were not saying anything about it. They were all sitting very peacefully. And they were receiving instructions from Shiva on transcendental topics. Other Vidyadharas who have come with him, they also didn't say one word about Shiva. This new one, Chitraketu, immediately he made a statement there. He says, is this Lord Shiva? This is what you have brought me here for? Look at the way he is behaving. He doesn't have any etiquette. Even very ordinary people in the world don't behave like this, and made some remark like that straight away. When Shiva heard that, Shiva smiled. Because who is Shiva? Jagat Guru, isn't it? For Mahatmas, great personalities, what they do, we have no right to. Parikshit asked that question, isn't it? Shiva can do, Krishna can marry 16,000 wives. Shiva can have a relationship with Parvati like that. They are not affected by that. That is what Shiva Brahma, she said that to Parikshit, isn't it? But Chitraketu hasn't reached that state yet. So, inside that vasana was still there. It hasn't gone away. Like when he was in this world, that is how he has seen things. So that vasana has not left him. So he made this remark about Shiva and Parvati. And Shiva smiled, but Parvati didn't like it. Somebody making a comment like that about her. And she started asking, who is this character who has come here like this? That's exactly the way Parvati asked the question. Who is this personality? Who let him in here? She said. And meanwhile, Shiva says, try to pacify her. But by then, she spoke a little harsh about it. She said, go and become a demon somewhere. She said, and send him away from there. And while leaving, he immediately sensed that he has done something seriously wrong. Who? Chitraketu. Realized that. And he paid his obeisances to her. And she said, she felt sorry for him. And because she has already spoken, it has to come true now. So he says to her that I will accept whatever you have given it to me. She says, if you ask for a release from this, I can give that to you. He said, no, this is my prarabdham. I was supposed to go through this prarabdham. I will accept it that way. He's saying that he left. And then he left, and then he came as appeared as Vritrasura from Tvashta was performing the sacrifice. And from that he appeared as Vritrasura. And that, so Vritrasura hasn't done any sadhana any time. You have to remember that. He hasn't done any sadhana. But it is at that time that in that Vritrasura's body he has appeared. But earlier, when Narada Maharshi sent him gave him that opportunity to meet Lord Balaram, and Balaram had accepted him. So Sangarshana Murthy or Balaram has accepted him. So therefore, when Vritrasura was getting killed by Indra, in that body, Balaram gave that from inside. Balaram gave that memory of Krishna. That is how he was able to chant those verses what he chanted at the time of death, remembering Krishna. Remember that? What he mentioned there? Vritrasura singing those verses in the Aham Hare Tava Padeiga Moolam Dasanu Daso Bhavidasmi Bhuyam. That is in the chapter 11, verse. Starting from 24, 25, 26, 27. Four verses. These four verses is the smarana of Vritrasura at the time of death. Vritrasura is remembering at the time of death Krishna. Like the way Krishna has spoken. And these four verses did not come from Vritrasura's intelligence and memory. It was sent from the Chit Shakti. Who? Balaram sent that. Through Balaram's mercy. And of course, Narada Maharshi's mercy also there. But mainly it was Balaram. So naturally, it has come about in that way. So here, you can see that this one thing, that Vritrasura's case, that in that next life, when he had taken that birth as Vritrasura, at that point, that experience with Balaram has come back again. And when that came back, he is seeing Lord Sankarshan, Lord Balaram, in the battlefield, and he is glorifying that way. And then he escaped from that body. So, such experiences can happen in life also, near life also. This is of course an incident which goes back. This Vritrasura story is in the Vedam also. It's not only in the Puranas, it's also in the Vedam. It is spoken. So, many great personalities have spoken that at the time of death, they will take care of their disciples. They have spoken like that. So this is in the case of bhakti, many people pray to Krishna that at least at the time of death, you should come and give me this memory. Devotees speak like that. Kulashekhara Alvar, that is what he told Krishna. Isn't it? Kulashekhara Alvar was a great king. In Mukundamala, if you read, you will see there, he is saying the same thing to Krishna. He says, Krishna, he is calling Krishna, Todiya padapangaja panjarandam advaivame ushadumana sarajahamsa prana prayana samaye kabhavata pitteihi kandhavarodhana vidhau smaranam kutaste. He says to Krishna, at the time of death, what will happen? My mind won't be there to think about you. It's not possible. Then, memory and all I can't trust anyway. Why? I am telling you, he says, Prana prayana samaye means at the time of pranan leaving the body. Kapham vadam pitam. All these three things, they will come to the throat and it will choke you at the time of death. Isn't it? Prana prayana samaye kapha vata pittai kandhavarodhanam. Kandhavarodhanam means it chokes you at the time of death. And then if you ask me that I have to remember you at that time, that's not going to happen. How will it happen? He's asking. It is keeping these words in the mind. Kulashekhara Alvar is writing that. If it has to happen, it has to happen from your side, not from my side. From my side, it won't happen. It's more or less an established thing. That is why when we start thinking that somehow Krishna will come at the time of death, and yes, if Krishna does come and Krishna gives you that thought, it will happen, you will go back. But on your own, if you think it will happen, there is no guarantee. No guarantee means practically you can say it's not going to happen. That's the situation. So, Krishna todiya padapangaja panjarandam adoyame ushudu manasa rajahamsam pranaprayana samaye kabhavada vittai kandhavarodhana vidhau smaranam kutaste. He says, how will I remember? So, in that state, you can't remember Krishna because the body will be in that state. So therefore, Kulashekhara Alvar has in advance told Krishna that this is the situation going to happen and you have to come in front of me at that time. Acharya Swamiji also mentions that in another place, that at the time of death, what will I see? I will see only the Yamadudas. They will come and they will be dragging me one direction or the other, like in the case of Ajamila. And if you can come and before that and pull me out from there, then I will escape. Then I will escape from here. Otherwise, it's not possible. Therefore, you will notice all great devotees, when they know that the death is approaching, they will constantly mention this to Krishna, that I won't remember you, you have to remember me. You have to say that to Krishna. Because at that time, you may not be able to even say that to Krishna. You will be out of control. Everything will be gone. You are totally helpless state. So right now, you have to say to Krishna as many times as possible and constantly praying to him for that, to remind him that he doesn't forget us. He doesn't forget us at the time of death. Like Sundaramurti Swamiji said to Lord Shiva, isn't it? He said, you are sending me away. Fine, I'll go. If I have to go, I will go. I have done something wrong. And I know one thing, when I go there, I will be under the control of the situation, what happens there. Even if I don't remember you, you should remember me and take me out. And Lord Shiva did take him out. So there are such instances. That is this what we are talking about here. That so that means you can never trust your individual effort. Don't trust our individual effort. At the moment we are thinking, I have done this, I have done that. And the result will come at the time of death. That's what we are thinking, isn't it? But that, you can't trust that any time. Because individual itself is not a real thing. That's the problem. If you are thinking about the individual effort, individual itself is not a real thing. That's also an ego, isn't it? So, that ego itself is not a real thing. Therefore, when you really need it will drop you. It will leave you. When you need it will leave you. Therefore, at the time of death, the ego also goes. So that is why you don't get that at the time when you want the help from the ego. So therefore, you will never be able to remember Krishna through your ego or through your memory or through your brain or through your mind. If it has to happen, it has to happen from Krishna's side, not from our side. So you can see, when you look into that ego, what is popping up inside and where it eventually goes and dissolves, there, that is the place where that Chit Shakti is. That Ahangaram or ego is also coming from that Chit Shakti. And that is why they are saying to us that when this Ahangaram inside, when you keep on giving attention to that, or everything, when somebody insults us or speaks rudely to us, you have to look inside and see that who is getting insulted. Then you will notice it is not me, it is that false ego getting insulted. If somebody praises you, you have to ask, these are the instances where you can catch him. You ask the same question, who is being praised? That time you know it is not you, it is that ego that is enjoying it. The ego is enjoying it, the praise or insult. And they are always praising the body, they are not seeing the soul, isn't it? When you are praised in this world or when you are insulted in this world, who is being praised and who is being insulted? The body. They don't know anything else inside. And who is enjoying and suffering due to that? The false ego. You are neither the body nor the false ego. But these are, or similarly, when anger comes, if you ask the same question, who is getting angry? Then you know the false ego is getting angry, not you. Because these emotions doesn't exist in the soul. Similarly, all other emotions, anger, lust, greed, and so many other things, they are all happening in the ego, within the ego. Ego is the, it is ego-centered, everything. It's ego-centered, all these emotions. So here, what they are saying here is that, based on that ego, if you are depending on, at the time of death, to remember Krishna, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. If it has to happen, it has to happen. Ahangaram or the false ego won't allow, because it will die before that. At the time of death, it will die before that, like anything else. Ahangaram will go completely from inside. Whereas, if you have already taken note of the place where this Ahangaram has born, false ego has born, that Purnata, Purna Vastu, or perfection there, that's where it has taken birth, and that center, which is the Chit Shakti, and if you realize that, if you come into contact with that, at the time of death, death itself will not be a topic of discussion. Like happened to Parikshit, isn't it? In Parikshit's case, that's what has happened. That how was that fear of death was taken out from Parikshit? Because when Parikshit, when he came and sat there in the riverbank, Ganga riverbank, to leave the body, he was very conscious that he is going to die. Is it not? 7 days before Parikshit left this world, Parikshit was very conscious that he was going to die. And that fear, he came, threw away everything, the kingdom, empire, everything, came and sat there. After hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, 7 days from Sugabrahma Rishi, Parikshit is leaving, and leaving he is saying, Siddhosmi, Anigrihidosmi. That he is saying to Sugabrahma Rishi, that I am realized now what I am. Anigrihi, by your mercy, Anigrihidosmi. At that time, what was happening? There is no body in him. Body has nothing to do with him. So, Therefore, you can see at that time, death was not a subject for discussions. So, that is why we mentioned here before that Krishna mentions there before Adi Yajnyoham Evatra Dehe Deha Pradham Vara Adi Yajnyam. That is Adi Yajnyam. In other words, while leaving the body, that memory coming back from Krishna, that is Adi Yajnyam. That is called Adi Yajnyam. That that awareness, what we have now located in us, that awareness, if you are able to leave the body in memory of that awareness in us, if that is taken control of the situation, that awareness, then there is no thing called death. There is no thing called death. Though, that is what Krishna is saying here. Ya prayati sa madbhavam. Madbhavam is that. What is that? Madbhavam is that awareness. Suppose you have cultivated that all through life about the awareness. Krishna is saying, ya prayati, one who is leaving this world, madbhavam, in that awareness of that bhavam of the soul or chitshakti or andaryami or awareness here, bodham, avabodham. If he leaves that body, yati nasti atra samshaya. That samadbhavam yati nasti atra samshaya. That there is no question that, question of him coming back. Question of him coming back again, he says. Now, one step further than this. In Srimad Bhagavatam, everybody knows this story, Jadabharata story, isn't it? Jadabharata story. Great yogi he was. He was called Bharata Yogeshwara. Even as a king, Emperor Bharata, he was a yogi. He had all the yogic siddhis in him. And very expert also in the yoga process. And for him, at the last stage, somehow an attachment came to the deer. Attachment came to the deer, isn't it? So, because of that attachment, while engaged in the in Krishna service, while engaged in Krishna service and in the meditation, at that time, what happened inside? Instead of the smarana from the chitshakti coming, the smarana of the deer came. The other way. Instead of from the chitshakti, while leaving the body, instead of the memory of the chitshakti coming, or the awareness coming, bodham coming, the form of the deer came in the front. You see how it happens? It came. And that he was not trying to get rid of it, but it was sticking there. So that decision, what should come at that time, is not in our hands. This is the important thing. Bharata Yogeshwaran, although great personality, great yogi, and very advanced in the yoga path, somehow or the other at the time of death, due to a small attachment that developed with one deer, what happened? Instead of that, at the time when he has to quit, it is the deer that has come in the smarana, not the awareness. Awareness didn't come to him. So, because therefore, left the body, think with the thoughts of the deer, and what did he see? He saw the deer standing in front of him. And because of that, he gave up the body, remembering as deer, and he took birth as a deer in his next life. Next life, he birthed as a deer. Yatha kraduhu, yatha sangalpaha, tad abhisambadhyade, Shruti says. Yatha kraduhu, yatha sangalpaha. Whatever sangalpam that comes in at that time, and that sangalpam will depend on your karmam. Karmam will create the sangalpam. Suppose all the karma was for making money or making, running around in this world for something else, some other material happiness, then karma will create its own sankalpam at the time of death. Just like Bharata Maharaja's case, somehow he had got attracted to that deer. Why did that happen? Due to karma. What was the karma? Prarabdham. Bharata Maharaja himself says that. After he became the deer, and then he became Jadabharata, isn't it? In which life he doesn't want to talk to anybody. He behaved completely like a avaduta. So he says there, due to my prarabdham before, only that prarabdha karmam has created that vasana in me, which created that attachment to the deer. The result was that I had to take another body. That's how it happened. So subtle is all these things, and but they are all so closely connected as well. Prarabdha karmam, due to the karma vasana, due to that karma vasana, attachment developed towards a animal, towards a deer, and at the time of death, that vasana brought that form in front, and he had to change the body and become a deer at the end. So all these are connected to each other. According to the karmam, your sankalpam will be. Your sankalpam will be according to the karmam. So, and according to that sankalpam, you will have the next life also. And accordingly, you will go from one body to another body. So, at the time of death, many, many things will come in our thoughts. Many things will come in our thoughts. Mainly, many name and form. Many names and forms will come in front of us. And not only that, they'll come and they will disappear. That's how it will be at that time. They'll come and start disappearing. So, from all of that, to pull the mind out of it and to fix in one place will be very, very difficult. Very, very difficult. And so it is impossible, practically impossible. So, if it is Bharata Maharaj, now in this case, or Bharata Maharaj, he has been trying this, that if he could not do it, a personality like Bharata Maharaj could not do it. That's what it is teaching us. That a personality like Bharata Maharaj could not do it. In spite of all his background of a yogi training, and also he was a great devotee as well, and a jnani, everything. And the son of Rishabhadev, so you can imagine, the eldest son, that too. In spite of all that, he couldn't do it at the time of death. So if he could not do it and he fell down, how can we do it? That question will come, isn't it? If a personality like Bharata Maharaj, who had that training and who had the knowledge and who has practiced it, remember Bharata threw away all his empire, kingdom, everything and came to Gandaki river and wanted to leave the body near the river bank. Gandaki river bank, that's where all this happened in Nepal. In Nepal, Gandaki river, that's where this happened. So, that means, in order to leave the empire and kingdom, everything, it is due to that Bharata, the word Bharata Varsham has come. India is known as Bharata Varsham because of that Bharata. And if a personality like him, who was so renounced that he could throw away the empire and kingdom, everything, and walk away from there, that means he must be very advanced in knowledge and realization. Otherwise he couldn't have done that. He's one of the famous kings, isn't it? So such a person, even he could not do it. At the time of death, this deer has come and taken over his life. That is the indication. And he himself says the reason for that is his prarabdham. I have done some karma before, and due to that karmam, that sankalpam has come, and due to that sankalpam, prarabdha karmam, that sankalpam has come, and due to that sankalpam, that karma vasana has come to get attached to this deer. He says that in the Bhagavatam, you will see in the fifth canto. So that is where the question, that it is the most sacred moment in life, the time of death. And here is that Vedantam gives you a clue here, what one should do. This is the point where you put your feet from Dhyana Yogam to Jnana Yogam. Dhyanam is what happens at the time of death. Smarana, what Krishna mentions here, is a part of Dhyana Yogam process. Dhyana Yogam process it is, isn't it? So, Vedantam is saying to us, you can't even take shelter of Dhyanam. Dhyanam and Jnanam, they are two different forces. Two different forces. What is Dhyana Yogam? Dhyana Yogam is, you are able to keep the mind focused on one thing, steady, and go deeper into it and be situated in that state. That's called Dhyana Yogam. Dhyanam, isn't it? Remembering, like 6th chapter, Bhagavad Gita is Dhyana Yogam. Dhyana Yogam. So, either in the form, Krishna's form, or the process what's spoken in the Bhagavatam also, how to execute Dhyana Yogam. Or otherwise, suppose you have managed to do that, or as I am Brahman, or Atma, like this. Through your thoughts, you are coming to that. Even if you, through your thought power, if you come to that, if you do not see the Chit Shakti behind all that thought waves, still there is a possibility something can happen. Suppose that Jnanam, the knowledge you have, is associated with Dhyanam, where it will happen is, suppose you are performing Dhyana Yogam, like Bharata Maharaj has done, like that. But if there is the proper Jnanam is also inside, it is possible that then Jnanam will take that Dhyanam inside and give you a way to escape from here. Give you a way to escape from here. Actually, all these are interlinked. Jnanam, Dhyanam, Yogam, all of them are interconnected. You cannot separate them out any time in life. Certain process of the Dhyana Yogam comes in Bhakti Yogam also. Similarly, certain aspects of Jnana Yogam comes in the Dhyanam. Jnanam, Dhyanam, Bhakti, Karmam, they all have interconnections through Sankalpam and through Vasanas inside. So, that if, for example, even though Vijara Jnanam means Jnanam that is not realized, but it is in the form of thought waves inside. That is called Vijara Jnanam. That means it's not realized yet. It is inside there in the form of thoughts. It's apparent present there. And at the same time, there is various Chittavritti happening inside. And behind this Chittavritti, there is the Chit Shakti. Isn't it? It is in the screen. Chittavritti is the cinema. Chit Shakti is the screen happening. And through your effort, you are not going to get there to that Chit Shakti. Because of the strong Chittavritti inside, you are not able to break through that barrier and make into contact with the Chit Shakti. You are in that state. Imagine like that. But at the same time, you have Dhyanam inside. You are able to engage in Dhyanam, Dhyanam process. So, what will happen in that case is that this powerful thing called the mind, which is nothing but Chittavritti, isn't it? You have to hear this very carefully. Only then you will get this the difficulty in explaining this is that where is the mind coming from? Mind is Chittavritti. Mind is Chittavritti. Chittavritti is there inside us. This person has practiced Dhyanam in life. Throughout life, he has practiced Dhyanam. Take, for example, Bharata Maharshi's case. And he hasn't managed to bring the Chittavritti under control. Chittavritti is still there in him. And Dhyanam is going on at the time. And suppose, Vedantam is saying to us, suppose you have pursued this avabodham or this awareness seriously throughout life, apart from dhyanam, if you have done that, what that will do is, it will take this dhyanam together. Dhyanam and jnanam will combine together. Jnanam will pull the dhyanam into it. And mind, which is there, that that which is full of chittavritti, that mind will not create any hurdle at that time. The mind will not cause any problem there. Because of the dhyanam inside, strong dhyanam you had, and if you have the jnanam, jnanam with the help of dhyanam, it will take you out. Even though sometimes there is strong chittavritti and the mind is present there. Normally, in the jnanam process, mind has to go. There cannot be any more mind after that. There cannot be any mind after that. So, it is a difficult situation though. It's a difficult situation. Because various people, for example, people who are attracted to dhyana yogam, they have followed that process for a long period of time. Long period of time. And they have reached some stage in dhyanam. They can engage in dhyanam for a certain period of time, but after that they will lose that, they'll come back again. Some people you can see, they can engage in dhyanam for a few hours. And now we are not talking about this professional meditation institutes. We are talking about yogis here. That means yogis who are continuously searching for self-realization. This meditation institute yogam, you can't trust that, because that is completely mixed with your karmic activities and materialistic life. So there is no chance of escaping from through that. But yogis, for example, who practice Patanjali's Yoga Sutram, Ashtanga Yogam throughout the day, and because Patanjali's Yoga Sutram is very attractive, there is a, what do they call, that if you follow that process, you will get a tangible result at the end. There's a tangible result, isn't it, in the yoga process. Patanjali's Yoga Sutram, through pranayamam, asanam, dharana, dhyanam, and all that. So there's a tangible result. So people get attracted to that yoga. So those who have followed that yoga system, Patanjali's Yoga Sutram, and they have performed dhyanam for many years in life, so it will have its impact on you. It will have its impact on you, that dhyanam process. Along with that, suppose you had jnanam also, but chittavritti has not completely gone away, and your jnanamargam, you have not become perfect. Jnanamargam, when do you become perfect? Through your own self-inquiry, when you have managed to escape from the body and come to the platform of consciousness. So it can happen like this, that vijarat jnanam, if it is like that, it's only in the thoughts that knowledge is. It's not completely, it hasn't taken full realization form. And behind the chittavritti, that nischala tattvam, behind the chittavritti, there is nischala tattvam. And he has not come to see that state yet. See that state yet. So, and what will happen to him is what is spoken here. What will happen to such a person? That such a person, in the next step, his knowledge will take him and leave him at the next step, in the next higher step. That means he will, what will happen is, from nischala tattvam, what is coming out, the mind is coming out from there, isn't it? So, therefore, dhyanam process is there in the yoga margam. What is the yoga margam process of dhyanam? That bringing the mind under to one point and focusing there, isn't it? Controlling the mind and bringing it under control to bring one point. That is called the yoga marga dhyanam. So in the jnana margam, what is the dhyanam? The dhyanam is, I am Brahmam, I am Atma. And all these things actually, I am in the yoga process also, I am Brahmam, I am Atma. This is also dhyanam in the yoga margam. For dhyanam. Dhyanam is in the yoga margam. In jnana margam, there is no dhyanam. Real dhyanam is in the yoga margam. യമം നിയമം ആസനം പ്രാണായാമം പ്രത്യാഹാരം ധാരണ ധ്യാനം. സെവൻത് സ്റ്റേജ് ഈസ് ധ്യാനം ആൻഡ് ദെൻ ലേറ്റർ എയ്ത് വൺ ഈസ് സമാധി. സോ ധ്യാനം ഈസ് ഇൻ ദി യോഗമാർഗം. യോഗമാർഗം മീൻസ് അഷ്ടാംഗയോഗം. ഇൻ ജ്ഞാനമാർഗം ദർ ഈസ് നോ ധ്യാനം, ദർ ഈസ് നോ ധ്യാനം ദർ. സോ വാട്ട് വിൽ ഹാപ്പൻ ഈസ് ഇൻ ദ യോഗമാർഗം വെൻ ദേ പെർഫോം ധ്യാനം, ഹൗ ഡു ദേ പെർഫോം ധ്യാനം? ദേ റിയലൈസ് ഇറ്റ് ദാറ്റ് ഐ ആം ദ സെയിം പേഴ്സൺ ഹൂ ഈസ് സ്പ്രെഡ് എവ്രിവെയർ ലൈക്ക് ദി സ്കൈ, ലൈക്ക് ദി സ്കൈ, വിച്ച് ഈസ് കോൾ ഇറ്റ് ആസ് ധ്യാനം ഇൻ ദ യോഗമാർഗം, നോട്ട് ജ്ഞാനമാർഗം, ധ്യാനം ഇൻ ദി യോഗമാർഗം. സോ ദാറ്റ് ഗോൾ വാട്ട് ദാറ്റ് യോഗി ഈസ് റീച്ചിങ് ആൻഡ് ത്രൂ ജ്ഞാനമാർഗം ആൾസോ യു കമ്മിങ് ടു ദ സെയിം അണ്ടർസ്റ്റാൻഡിങ്. How you are realizing that I am not this body. Krishna mentions here, first starting with Adibhutam and finally Adidevam and then Adiyajnam. Through Adiyajnam you come to that state that you are not limited to the body anymore. You are actually the spiritual Chidakasham, as it is called. When you realize that you are present everywhere, like our what's his name, Ashtavakra and Janaka. Janaka said that to Ashtavakra, isn't it? That is the same state yogis also reaching there through their process of dhyanam. Of course, it is requires a lot of intense practice and for many, many years, and they don't make it still. It's not easy, as we say about that. It's easy to talk about it, but it's not easy to get there. That's all. So, therefore, because the state they are reaching are both, that process is called Yoga Vedantam. That process is called Yoga Vedantam. You must have heard about him, who was the Yoga Vedantam, was a famous personality. He has written an autobiography of a yogi. He wrote that book. Paramahamsa Yogananda, yes. He was Paramahamsa Yogananda. He used to propagate this Yoga Vedantam. He was into that. Before, before or after Vivekananda's, he came. Yeah. So he followed that process called Yoga Vedantam. That is called Yoga Vedantam. Where dhyanam is there as per the yoga process. Added to that, he is also supported by jnanam. But there is no perfection in jnanam yet. There is no perfection in jnanam. But jnanam comes to the aid of dhyanam, and therefore it is called Yoga Vedantam. Yogam and Vedantam together. Therefore it is called Yoga Vedantam. That's Paramahamsa Yogananda's book. If you read, you will see that. Mentions there about that. So, in pure jnanamargam, there is no dhyanam. There is no dhyanam. What is in jnanamargam? Shraddha. Shraddha is the main thing. Shraddha. So, Shraddha, or attention as you say. What does Shraddha does? Shraddha never gives any bhavana. It doesn't imagine anything. You know, imagination. And it never utilizes the mind. Never utilizes the mind. But for performing meditation, dhyanam, you need the mind. Isn't it? In yogam, you need the mind. In jnanam, you don't need the mind. You say, we don't need you. Go. We don't send you off. In dhyanam, jnana margam. So, jnanam without utilizing the mind, and when chittavrittis are coming, behind the chittavritti, there is that nishchalata. Nishchalata means that peaceful state or peaceful existence. Nishchalata to a jivanmukti state, in other words. When you start seeing that state at that time, you also notice that in that nishchalata, that steady state in nishchalata, the mind is coming out and mind is going back into it. So that powerful force, which is called anirvachaniya shakti, called mind, that samadhi state, from there a shakti, a power that comes out, and that is the mind. That means if you go to follow this jnana margam, when you become realized, you will start seeing how the mind is taking birth inside each one of us. That what happens in the Jnana Margam. Because you have made contact with the Chit Shakti, the birth of the mind inside, because you can see every day the mind is taking birth, isn't it? In the morning when you come back from deep sleep, first thing is the mind is born. And then Ahankaram is born, one after the other. Then the whole life, day it goes on, and in the night, without our knowledge, the mind goes away. Where he goes, we don't know. But through this process of knowledge, when you come to that state, when you have come into touch with Chit Shakti, you can see from then on the appearance and disappearance of the mind every time. Appearance and disappearance of the mind every time. So, therefore, in behind this, that thoughts that's coming and going back all the time, sankalpam or thought waves, we call that as the mind, thought waves. So, or that center, we call it as mind. If you look at that mind from a higher plane, that is called Upanishad. That's called Upanishad. Why? Because Upanishad means, that is Upanishad. Upanishad means you are in that higher state, and in that ocean, waves are coming and going away. Waves are coming and going away. And that you will start noticing yourself. And then you are in the Upanishad stage. That means already you have touched the Chit Shakti or the screen behind, and then you can see everything what is happening in the screen, the cinema. And the mind is the biggest cinema that goes on there, the mind. And you can notice the coming and going of the mind at that time, and thought waves that's coming and going at that time, and you will realize that there are in that thought waves what all comes. They give the example like this: in the ocean, the waves are coming, the bubbles are coming, waves are coming, the bubbles are coming, and then a lot of foam is coming, and ripples, all kinds of things. Water takes different forms, isn't it? And we call them by different names. But all these things are coming, but actually if you look at all of them, they are all nothing but water in different forms, isn't it? In different names and different forms they come. But substance is water. Substance is water. So, salilam evam drishto advaito bhavati. When one starts seeing all these things, that it is the same substance in all of that, Upanishad says that salilam is water. Salilam drishwa advaito bhavati. He will become a more that oneness comes to his notice. So when you have started seeing the water, what has happened? Nothing has happened. When the water has become the waves, what happened? Nothing has happened, isn't it? Again it goes back and joins the sea once again. And similarly, the water has come in the form of ice, and then again it melts and goes back into the same as water. And similarly as bubbles or foam, in different forms, water comes and it goes back. And this thing, what is happening with the sea and the water, you will notice that exactly the same thing is happening inside with the Chit Shakti and the mind. In the mind, all emotions are coming and they are going back. All kinds of emotions. And you can witness all, experience that, when you have touched the Chit Shakti. And that's what happens in the case of a Jnani. So, but because you are situated in the self, in the soul, then, and in that soul, although the mind has come up and mind has gone back, it will be simply seen as a wave. It will be simply seen as a wave. That is why in the Lalita Sahasranamam it says, Chid Agni Kunda Sambodha Devakarya Samudyama. It says, Agni Kunda Sambhudam. It's like a big fire going on, which is that Chit Shakti. And from that sparks are coming. Sparks are coming from that big fire. So Chid Agni. Chid Agni means the Chit Shakti, which is in the form of a fire. That's why it's called Chid Agni. Chid Agni Kunda Sambhudam. That Agni is burning inside. And from there, all these sparks are coming in the form of mind. In the form of mind. So that's all it is. And because if our attention is on the waves, then it is called Dvaita Buddhi. Dvaita Buddhi. Therefore, we start thinking, I've got anger, I've got lust, I've got greed, and this is a good thought, this is a bad thought. And when good thoughts comes, you feel happy. When bad thought comes, you feel unhappy. And things like that happens because of that. But once you have touched the chit shakti or the screen behind, then when these things are happening, we won't be looking at it in the form the way normally people look at it. Now, at the moment, what do we say? Oh, I had a good thought, I had a bad thought, or I had anger, I had this, I had that. But by the time you have touched chit shakti, then everything what you are seeing there is nothing but the waves coming and going. It will have no effect. You cannot identify with it anymore, like before. So, in order to know these things, what we have spoken so far, your attention should be inside. You can understand all these things when you are looking inwards. Only then you can come to terms with it. This cannot be again understood with the brain and the mind. That's not meant to be understood in that way. So, these thoughts that is appearing inside us, is like the waves in the ocean, and they come up, waves come up and they go back again. In the same way, the thoughts comes up and goes away. but due to some problem we have with our own intelligence at the moment, because of that because of intellectual immaturity, so to say, that we give importance to some thoughts. That is due to intellectual immaturity. Actually, they are all thoughts only. You see, unless you become in a subtle level, you look at it, you won't get it, what we are talking about. Lot of thoughts are coming. Why do you give importance to some thoughts and not to some other thoughts? Why is it like that? Because of intelligence. And from Vedantam point of view, it's called intellectual immaturity. Because Vedantam is saying to us that these thought waves that's coming through, they are all like this comparison with the sea, ocean and the waves. Once you know that they will come and they will go, means that has no meaning. It has no meaning, practically. All these thoughts have no meaning. But what do? We give importance to those thoughts, is it not? So here, what Bhagavad Gita is saying to us is that once you have touched that adhyatnyam, chit shakti inside, and you have started this mind appearing and disappearing at different times, all the thoughts that's coming through the mind also, you will not treat them in a different way, good and bad. Because you know very well it's not happening in you, it's happening in the mind. Separation has happened with the mind at that time. Like earlier, separation has happened with the body. Now separation has happened with the mind as well. This is the growth of a person who is realizing the truth. This is what happens to him. Initially, he gets separated from the body through thoughts, through inquiry, and through process of knowledge, he feels himself detached from the body. Then he gets detached from the mind as well. So now at the moment when thoughts come, we give importance to some thoughts, some speciality we give to some thoughts, and certain thoughts we have a different approach, attitude towards different thoughts, isn't it? To some thoughts we give priority, other thoughts we just write it off. Normally I'm saying, we do like that, isn't it? To different thoughts that comes inside. So, behind all these thoughts or these waves, the essence behind that is consciousness. Is consciousness, isn't it? Consciousness is where this is all originating from. It is that subtle realization inside that behind all these waves of thoughts that's coming inside, if that consciousness, that Sushma Jnanam, if that has woken up, and it is that thing which comes through the senses to this world and come to know that this world exists. It's all very subtle. If you can spend time and read about it and reflect on that, you will one day may get to know that, what they are talking about. That behind these thought waves, there is a Chit Shakti there. And once you have touched the Chit Shakti, what else happens to us? Just like you are seeing the birth of the mind, you are seeing the birth of the world as well. How this world was born. The world was born like this, that from the same Chit Shakti, a Sushma Jnanam, and it creates some waves, these waves or thought waves which are coming. Some of them comes in the mind and appears in front of us. Some of them come through the senses and goes to the world outside. And when it goes outside, we start seeing the body in a form, and outside we come to know about it as the world. So all these names and forms in this world, essentially it is nothing but that divine principle, Chit Shakti, inside. That is how the creation has to be understood. From Vedantam is telling us, if you don't understand creation in this way, see, other creation in the Puranam, what is spoken about, is in a different way, isn't it? The world is created in a different way, like in different scriptures it's spoken. But much more subtle level, if you understand the creation, from Vedantam is teaching us in this way, that this thoughts that's coming, if it has come out and started going through the senses to the world outside, and when you start experiencing the world, you can see that the world has taken birth inside you, and all names and forms essentially is nothing but that divine principle and nothing separate from that. That is the stage what Krishna is talking about. What does he say? He says that Pandita Samadarshina, isn't it? In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying that. That, and also that is the same stage what is spoken there. Sarva Bhudeshu Yapashyed Bhagavad Bhava Malpana Bhudani Bhagavat Yesha Savai Bhagavadottama. Whether you are a pure Paramahamsa devotee or a fully realized Jivan Mukta, that state is the same. Jivan Mukta state is the same as the Paramahamsa devotee. What does he do? Sarva Bhudeshu Yapashyel Bhagavad Bhavam. Whenever he is seeing the living entity, he is seeing Bhagavad Bhavam. Krishna's present there. Do not see any of these things through the modern system of education. That otherwise you are not seeing to see all the living entities as Krishna. Krishna, Kavi Maharshi is saying there, Sarva Bhudeshu Yapashyel Bhagavad Bhavam Almana. Why does he say like that? Look at the words very carefully. Almana, he says. Almana, Alma, it is. And there is Bhagavad Bhava. So how did that happen? It happened like this. From Chit Shakti, those thoughts that's coming, some of them are going through the mind, and he sees the birth and death of the mind. He is always conscious of that. Plus, what else has happened? These thoughts that's coming from inside, they've gone into the world, and he's seeing the world at that time. And at that time, because he is realized inside, he is in contact with the Chit Shakti, Sarva Bhudeshu Yapashyet Bhagavad Bhavam. Whatever he is seeing here, it's all Krishna. It's all Krishna. That is that stage. So in otherwise, these things won't happen with our mind and intelligence again. It has nothing to do with it. You remember this? That three states of classes of devotees, isn't it? First class, second class, third class. We spoke about that. The first one is the Sarva Bhudeshu Yapashyet Bhagavad Bhavam Almana Bhudani Bhagavat Yesha Savai Bhagavadottama. That state will come. This is how it happens to a devotee and as well as a jnani. So, he will know at that time that this is the same chit shakti is present in this world in different names and forms, and the body, the mind, intelligence, ego, all of that is the same chit shakti. He will know that at that time. At that time he will know that these things what we call now as the body, mind, intelligence, ego and everything is nothing but that chit shakti. In Vedic philosophy, everything is identification with what you identify with, isn't it? What is already there, you can't change. When our identification goes with the chit shakti, then whatever you see here is also that chit shakti, nothing different. So, so that is why that statement, if you remember Upanishads, there's a famous statement, Ekam evam adyudiyam brahma neha nanasti kinchana. It's a famous Upanishad statement. If you have reached that stage, he is saying, Ekam evam adyudiyam brahmam neha nanasti kinchana. Here there is only brahmam, nothing else is here. And neha nanasti kinchana. So, what has happened says, you have gone into the very heart of it, and with experiential, with experience and insight, you have to understand that. That means this statement, Eham evam adyudiyam brahmam neha nanasti kinchana. This statement in the Upanishad, intellectually you can't understand it. You have to go through the, you have to have that experiential insight. Through experience you have to have that insight and you have to realize it like that. In Shastram they call it as Anubhudika Yukti. That means something, logic you have understood, but it is actually understood only when you have experienced it. Anubhudikam, Anubhudi, Anubhudika Yukti. So, so, if we reach that stage, now this one particular thing, you have to fully get it. Here and there, pieces no good. Partly getting it is no good. You have to get it completely. So, otherwise it's very dangerous also. Because, this thing is only experienced in the very highest plane, in the very highest plane. And therefore, it is spoken in that way. But at the same time, if it is understood, then it is understood. If it's not understood, just leave it. That's all. Because how it is that it is anubhuti, it is realization. And at the same time, there are examples in the Bhagavatam, Prahlada is that example. That for Prahlada, everything is Narayana, isn't it? Vishnu. He says, everywhere I look, I see only Vishnu, nothing else, he says. So, that's one state he is. Everything what he is seeing is Vishnu. That does not mean that Prahlada has got some special glasses through which he is looking and seeing that everything is Vishnu. That's not what it is. What has happened to Prahlada is, Prahlada, right within the womb, through Narada Maharshi's mercy, he has touched the truth inside. So when he came out, whatever he is seeing is through that realization, isn't it? That is why Hiranyakashipu lost the battle with him. Hiranyakashipu didn't do anything. Hiranyakashipu is asking him, where is your Vishnu, he says. And then Prahlada is talking to him, Vishnu is everywhere. So he said, are you crazy? Who says? Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu says to him, are you crazy? Prahlada says, I am not crazy. You must be crazy because you can't see. Prahlada sees only Vishnu everywhere. And Hiranyakashipu can't see Vishnu anywhere. This is the problem. Hiranyakashipu is not seeing Vishnu anywhere. And Prahlada is seeing only Vishnu everywhere. So it's that time he thought, you're really talking nonsense, he said to Prahlada. And he said, if you are seeing Vishnu everywhere, is he there in this pillar, he said. When Prahlada looked, there is Vishnu there also. Narasimhamurti is there inside. So, Hiranyakashipu thought, this son of mine, Prahlada, is really trying to, you know, trying to make fool of me. And so he got angry and pulled the sword to kill him. When he pulled the sword, it hit the pillar, and the pillar smashed down, and Narasimhamurti came out. Even the pillar touched. By then, Prahlada has seen Narasimhamurti is inside. That is Prahlada's vision. Hiranyakashipu hasn't seen anything yet. He heard the sound first of what? The pillar breaking up. That is how in the Bhagavatam you can read that. What he heard was, he didn't see Narasimhamurti first. He heard the sound of pillar breaking up. And then Narasimhamurti appeared from inside, and then there is a fight between Narasimhamurti and Hiranyakashipu. But the main point here is that state of Prahlada. That's more important. How Prahlada was, he was saying here that when for Prahlada there is no another object in this world. There is only one vastu. Everything is made of vastu. And that is that state. Krishna is also saying in the fourth chapter, Bahunam janmana mande jnanavanmam prabudyate vasudeva sarvamiti. That is that state. When we hear that verse first time, what do we think? You see, spiritual realization and spiritual knowledge are two different things, isn't it? If you have studied, when we read Bhagavad Gita first time, Vasudeva Sarvamiti, it means everything is Vasudeva. It means wherever you look, it will be all four-handed Krishna standing there, and everybody will become, how's that going to happen? And then the doubt starts. How will it happen? You have to give time to think all these things. Otherwise, it's no point in just reading and translation purport and keeping it in the head. That's useless. In spiritual life, that's completely useless. Just reading translation purport and keeping it in the head. That's useless. You have to get these subtleties of all these verses. How they all come together. Parikshit's realizations. Krishna's statements in the Bhagavad Gita. Janaka's realizations. Ashtavakra's statements. Like this in so many places, the same realization is spoken about in different ways, so that we start seeing that all these things are happening in a different plane inside. Outside, nothing will change. This world will remain as it is, this body will remain as it is, and all of us will remain as we are. Where is the change then? Inside is the change. That is where all these changes are happening. Whether it is Bharata Maharaj's life, Bharata Maharaj's state, Janabharata's state, Rahugana's state, and all of them eventually has to come together in realization, isn't it? So that is what is Krishna is discussing here. That yamyam vavi smaran bhavam, that smarana's power, how powerful that smarana is. When smarana comes from the memory, that's very limited. When that smarana is coming from the chit shakti, it's unlimited. It changes completely. It changes the whole thing. It comes out and starts showing us, each of us, what it is. We start realizing the body properly at that time, isn't it? That time we realize, body is not mine. I'm not this body. That is the time you realize first, I'm not this body, body is not mine. And that has become in a realized state inside. And body is not meant for my enjoyment. Now, we are discussing, last 2 days we spoke about that body was given by the material nature. Material nature has given. This is all still in our brain and memory. It has not come in realization yet. Because if it has come in realization, we will be acting in a different way. So, first thing is, when Shishakti, this realization happens, first thing the body goes. Secondly, you start seeing that the mind also goes away. Mind cannot. You also start seeing how the body was born and the body has gone. Similarly, the mind is taking birth and the mind is also going in the same way. In the same way. And that state you can only understand when you look at these devotees like Prahlada. And when we read Bhagavatam and seeing this Prahlada state, that he is so convinced and confident of what he is saying, although Hiranyakashipu is thinking that he is talking rubbish, that whatever he is talking didn't make any sense to Hiranyakashipu. Whereas for Prahlada, there was no problem at all. Prahlada's state was, he is seeing that there is only Brahman, there is only Krishna everywhere. There is nothing else. Now, he can't see anything else outside that. Therefore, Hiranyakashipu was getting very upset with him, and he tried to kill him and pulled out the sword, and the pillar broke up, and from there Narasimhamurti came about. And that is why it mentions here, and it is that same thing what Krishna is saying there in the Bhagavad Gita. Bahunam janmanam ande jnanavanmam prabadhyate vasudeva sarvamiti samahalpa sudurlabhaha. Very powerful verse, isn't it? Look at the depth of that verse. When you see all these, understand the background of all that, only then you can understand that verse. What do we do? We say to people, look at this verse, Vasudeva Sarvamiti, and we are all that Mahatmas. Although, because we are very few, only rare ones. We are that rare ones, isn't it? and we also say to others that we have become like this because we have been great devotees in the previous many lifetimes. Bahunam Janmanam, we have come. Bahunam Janmanam, and then we are that Jnanis, Jnanavan. And Krishna used the word Jnanavan there. You can see that. Why Jnanavan? Because he has passed through all these stages of realizations. Krishna is saying it's a very, very rare thing. He himself says, Samahalma Sudurlabha. Durlabha means rare. Sudurlabha means extremely rare. Who will come to that state? So now you can see what a long way to go. Very long way to go, isn't it? And it is not that spiritual life is interesting as long as when you get to understand the subtlety of all these things. Then Bhagavad Gita is the most amazing book in this world. There's nothing beyond Bhagavad Gita. The happiness of reading Bhagavad Gita, you will start getting it when you start seeing all these subtle aspects of the Bhagavad Gita. And you also notice personalities like Parikshit, Shuka Brahmarshi, and Dattatreya Maharshi, Jadavardha, what they are talking about. If you start understanding that, when Jadavardha is talking to Rahugana, if you understand it, realize it properly, then you will see the happiness from that. That state of existence where Jadavardha was. Similarly, Dattatreya, similarly, Rishabhadev, similarly, Shuka Brahmarshi, Parikshit, Prahlada, all of them, they are all on that spiritual state of realized all these, what Krishna is talking about in the Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, it makes sense. It makes sense. This is not a subject for corrupted mind and corrupted intelligence. It cannot understand that. It's not possible. Only in the realized state, you will, when you see this in Prahlada, this what Krishna has spoken about, Bahunam Janmanamande, Jnanavanmam Prabhadyade, when you see that Jnanam in Prahlada, then you start understanding what Prahlada means, isn't it? So, it's 20 past 11. We'll stop there and we'll have tomorrow afternoon. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.